Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. AM 1320 KCTC. Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Next week's Fox interview of O.J. Simpson has been canceled. His book, If I Did It, is being yanked as well.
Fox has changed its mind and won't put on the air the two-part TV interview with O.J. Simpson, and a publishing company owned by News Corporation, same company that runs Fox, has decided not to publish Simpson's book. That's a little odd because bookstores expect to start selling the book next week.
That's CBS's Dan Raviv. When Molly Hawkins heard the school bus go over the overpass in Huntsville, Alabama, smash down and fall over on its top, she knew it couldn't be good.
Bam, 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 but it sounded like when it first hit, it sounded like a bomb went off, and then a couple of more sounded like bounces.
44 people on that bus, 3 are dead, several more in critical condition, others in hospitals with various injuries. Students on that bus say it started when another driver cut in front, and the bus driver had to swerve to miss him. The judge said 89-year-old George Weller deserved to go to prison for driving into that farmer's market full of people. But he won't because he's old and frail. 10 people died. A dozen more were injured when Weller's car bowled into that market 3 years ago. Gretchen Hogg lost her sister that day.
This is the worst thing I've ever gone through my entire life. Lynn was my mother, my guardian, my sister. There's a huge chunk taken out of my life because she's not here.
The elderly driver will be on probation for 5 years and no more driving. Home sales numbers for the summer are in, down in 38 states. Walter Maloney, the National Association of Realtors, says we've probably seen the worst of the price and sales slide.
We think that we've hit bottom for the U.S. as a whole, and next year about three-quarters of the nation will be in a sluggish expansion, and about a quarter of the markets will still be seeing some contraction.
On Wall Street, the Dow lost 26 points to close at 12,316. The Nasdaq gained nearly 7 points on the day. 5 kidney transplants at once, all made possible because of one donor's gift of life. 12 surgeons, 10 patients, 10 hours on the table.
Here's how it worked. An outside donor gave a kidney to one recipient, whose mother gave to a second recipient, whose wife gave to a third patient, and so on. 10 hours of simultaneous surgeries, 5 people saved. This will be the first holiday in 30 years that Christine Jansen of Bangor, Maine can truly celebrate.
It's almost like a resurrection, even more than a Thanksgiving.
She met her donor, Honey Rothstein, for the first time here at Johns Hopkins today. They held hands and promised to stay in touch.
That'd be cool.
I would love to.
That'd be cool.
That'd be wonderful.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Baltimore.
It's a made-up picture and worth just enough to maybe put a Missouri man in jail. He offered the picture said to be that of George Dixon, commander of the first combat submarine, the Confederate CSS Hunley, on eBay. Claimed it was verified by Dixon's great-granddaughter. Couple of problems. A, the man was in a Union uniform. B, Dixon never had his picture taken. And C, he also never had any kids. This is CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only 2 locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Stocking hat?
Check.
Ice scraper?
Check.
Goodyear tires with triple tread technology?
Huh?
Are you prepared for winter driving? If not, get any weather traction from Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. Now on sale. Plus, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card when you buy 4 select Goodyear tires, including triple treads, or double it to $80 when you use a Goodyear credit card. Be prepared this winter and save big on all Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. These offers end December 2nd, 2006. Offer subject to credit approval. See your participating Goodyear retailer for complete details.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving want technology, as is being used in New Mexico, to become national.
Matt is saying that all states should adopt this. It should be uniform that first-time offenders be required to install these breathalyzer locks on their car. On top of that, MAD and federal officials are asking for stepped-up enforcement, particularly over the holidays, additional sobriety checkpoints, just a rededicated effort to trying to lower this fatality number, which has been stuck at 13,000 a year for about a decade.
That's CBS's Bob Orr in Washington. Canadian Football League champions get the Grey Cup. The BC Lions are this year's champs. Guard Kelly Bates took the venerable cup in hand, raised it above his head, and shook it. And the cup broke. Base in one hand, the cup in the other. So the players passed around both pieces. It'll be repaired. That cup has been around since 1909. Started out as a trophy for the rugby champions. Harley Carnes.
Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday pre-holiday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. And let me give you all the information. You can call the show. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. And let's see. Oh, 86. I'll get all the numbers here. I think I tossed them all into the bottom of a pile, but they'll. Oh, here they are. They magically appear. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Toll free. If you've never called me before, please think about doing it because it's fun to meet new people, and more of you are discovering us, and many more first-time callers. And it expands the conversation. So it's every day we try for a rich, vibrant conversation. And some days we actually succeed. But every day we certainly always have a flea market of ideas. And I always think that it's, unless it's worth our time, I'm never interested in doing a subject or doing a topic or doing a story or discussing it. So that's my personal bar. It has to be worth our time. There's so much to begin with. Where do I start? Because there's a lot going on today. First of all, I want to start by saying I had a pre-Thanksgiving last night in the city. Friends of friends who are terrific cooks. They all sort of take turns cooking. And so it was my friend who cooked, but we brought it all over to another friend's house who was, you know, bigger dining room, so that bigger tables so that everybody could be accommodated. It was incredible. And people like me who are not what you call accomplished cooks. In fact, you can't really call me a cook unless you absolutely strain the limit of what cooking means. I sort of assemble things. And there are a few little things that I know how to do. But my friend, Liz, cooked this stuff. She started, I think, on Friday night or Saturday, and, you know, getting, not to mention all the marketing that was involved, but making the relish, the jello thing, and the turkey, and the stuffing, and the potatoes, and the pumpkin pie, and, I mean, it just went on and on and on, and it was just wonderful. And then when you take it over and then cook it at somebody else's place where you've not really cooked before, you know, everybody's ovens and stoves and stuff are calibrated differently, and so it doesn't, you know, there was a lot of debate. Is it done? Is it not done? Is it juicy? Is it going to be dry? It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I think you cannot get too many Thanksgivings. That's what I think. And I want to say something about Thanksgiving. It is my favorite holiday. They have not figured out a way to particularly to commercialize it to the extent that they have commercialized everything else, except that there are now these fancy turkeys that they're trying to sell you for $10 a pound, almost $10 a pound. They're organic. They're free range. You know, when you bring them out of the refrigerator, they seem home on the range. These turkeys, and in any event, the Thanksgiving signals, you know, a free-for-all for shopping. And people don't even wait for Thanksgiving anymore. I think free-for-all for shopping, and particularly for the Christmas season. And I think people start shopping for Christmas. You start seeing Christmas hints of it in September around, you know, vying with the back-to-school crowd. So we're going to be in full flower. And, of course, Friday is the biggest shopping day of the year. Let me remind you that your goddess is going to be off on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. But I will be back with you on Monday. So the Monday after Thanksgiving, I will return. And Enid Live returns. But one of the things I hope we will keep in mind as we lurch toward gluttony, and that is the attitude of gratitude. It doesn't matter what your situation is, what our situation is. This is a time to be grateful for what you have. It might not be what you want, but it is what you have. And you dance with what you have. and you appreciate what you have. And I think part of our anger and part of our discontent and part of our anxiety is that we're not where we are. In other words, we don't appreciate where we are. You are where you are. And all you can do is accept it. It might not, it might be absolutely what you don't want, but the way to getting what you do want starts with acceptance. So you have to accept it. You say, well, for now, I'm accepting that for now, it is, this is what it is, A, B, and C. And in that act of accepting something is when it can begin to change. The more you resist, you know that old cliche, the more what we resist persists. So the more we resist accepting whatever our situation is, the more it hangs on and bedevils us. But the minute you say, even if you, this is, these are apps, you choke on these words, you say, you, or you think to yourself, I will accept this for now. This is what it is. Then, you know, your whole body starts to relax. You become grateful, and things can then begin to change. So a little free advice, worth what you pay for it, from your goddess, who's going to be taking Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off. Okay, let me start a little bit with some politics, and we're going to move on to some very interesting, lots of interesting news going on. Richard Pombo, in the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle, he is upset. He is reconsidering his options in the wake of his stunning defeat. He is seething over the tactics of his foes. Well, all his foes did was to, what his foes did was to defeat him. And he was so arrogant, he thought he was going to be there forever. And he isn't there forever, and I think now the reality is beginning to set in. So McNerney's going in. He's not ruling out going back after McNerney in 2 years. Pombo says, writes the Chronicle, is still digesting his loss. In a wide-ranging interview, he deflected questions about how he's coping with his defeat with humor. But his post-election sentiments are clear. He is furious at his opponents for the very personal campaign they waged against him, and he is still stunned because they pulled it off. Pombo says he respects McNerney. There's probably nothing I agree with him on, but that doesn't make him a bad guy. But he is livid. Pombo is livid at the major environmental groups who targeted him for defeat 2 years ago and who ran a well-financed campaign to do just that. So they targeted him for defeat. They ran a very well-financed campaign, and they were able to knock him off. Schwartz is going to run around being bipartisan. Not bisexual, but bipartisan. Well, maybe that too. Who knows? Bipartisanship is sort of like a religion. Schwartzy has made bipartisanship his new theology, and he is, he found a niche, and he's going to fill it. He's a good marketer that way. He's planning an evangelical tour next year to bring enlightenment to political heathens in Iowa and New Hampshire with a few so-called policy speeches. Now, why is our newly minted governor of California schlepping around to Iowa, where anybody who's a presidential candidate, starts motating toward, or New Hampshire, likewise? I guess he wants to do something besides be the governor. So, you know, he won being governor, and now he's going to spend the next 4 years. Is he going to spend it governing California well, or is he going to spend it trying to boost himself into the next position? And some people think it's going to be going after Barbara Boxer's senatorial slot. When you have a Republican who won a large victory in a Democratic state in a very, very Democratic year, clearly he's identifying issues that represent what many voters are concerned about, said his communications director. Bipartisanship is a negotiating position, not a political philosophy, said one person. But in any event, he is now specializing, majoring in our governor, Schwartzy, whose head has been permanently dipped into a vat of tang, leavened with a little bit of orange furniture polish. He is now the expert on bipartisanship. What do you think? 349-1320, 866-620-1320. Okay, the story we've all been waiting to hear. It happened. We're surprised. We're surprised, we're not surprised. Well, let me set the story up for you. We've been talking about this. We talked about it last week. And those of you who have a long memory, remember that when I was at the Crosstown Station, the last time I was in Sacramento, what did we do day in, day out for a long period of time? We did OJ. You guys said, I've had enough. I can't stand it. I don't want any more OJ. And you couldn't get enough of it. Everybody couldn't get enough of it. It was one of those times in radio where people were looking actively to change their usual listening habits. And I want to say about radio, in case you hadn't thought that much about it. Radio is a very habit-driven medium. You know, we set our presets, which I hope you're setting to 1320. And remember, your homework assignment is to tell 3 to 5 people every single day that Enid Live is here, that 1320 is here, that they can listen to Scott and Sims in the Morning Retort. And tomorrow morning, they're going to have Doris Kearns Goodwin, who's a plagiarist, but also a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, and Harry Shearer and his wife, Judith Owen. So they're going to have those two people on, and they'll have Robert Dalek, the historian, on. So lots of good guests coming up on the Morning Retort with Scott and Sims, and lots of good guests that you can listen to on Enid Live. We just had Frank McCourt, and by the way, guess where he was right after he was with us? The next day he was over in San Francisco on KGO with Bernie Ward. So we scooped KGO. Isn't that nice? The mighty talk radio beacon. In any event, here we are talking about OJ last week, and we were talking about how there is this new book out that Fox, one of their publishing divisions, is publishing, and Judith Regan, who is herself kind of sleazy, is the person behind it. And here's some of the background of it. And some of the background is this, that Judith Regan kept the, she is a book editor, and she has her own imprint for one of Rupert Murdoch's companies, she kept the project secret even from her colleagues at HarperCollins, owned by Rupert Murdoch, telling them only that a big title was coming out at the end of November. When word about the deal got out last week, Regan was attacked as a money-grubbing bottom feeder on the cable news shows. Wounded by the criticism, Judith Regan rose to defend herself. She protested that she had been misunderstood. The book and TV deal had nothing at all to do with money, she wrote in a windy statement, and it was a windy statement that was issued late last week. She was only doing it to help victims of violence. As a young woman, she wrote, she had been abused by a boyfriend and believes that Simpson's confessions to the murders, even hypothetically, will heal the wounds of victims everywhere, and will heal the wounds in her pocketbook, and will heal the wounds, the financial wounds that Fox and HarperCollins might be suffering. Anyway, her former boyfriend denied these abuse allegations. She said, I made the decision to publish this book and sit face to face with the killer, Regan said, because I wanted him and the men who broke my heart and your hearts to tell the truth, to confess their sins, to do penance, and to amend their lives. Amen. Amen, she said. That's what she said. OJ has got to scrape by on his miserable pension that they can't, now the civil suit can't touch his pension. His miserable little $300,000 a year pension from the NFL. Where can we sign up for one of those? And they can't, Florida, the laws are such, as we discussed, that they can't take your house. So here is poor OJ scraping by in that $300,000 a year pension from the NFL. I don't know how he pays his greens fees. I really just don't know how he can afford to go golfing on that miserable amount of money that they're paying him for his pension. But anyway, there it is. So, he's got to figure out a way to get some dough cooking. Well, any dough, and we were hoping, we are so naive. Your goddess here is so naive, I have to tell you. We are hoping that if he makes money on this book, that the Goldman and Brown families will be able to get some of the money that is owed them in the civil suit, of the judgment that they want, $33.5 million judgment. Well, forget about it. The money is never going into his pocket because it would then go to satisfy the judgment. The money, the arrangement they made is for his kids to get the money. That's the arrangement. Now, think about this. His children, to hear a hypothetical confession about how he killed their mother, I can't even begin to wrap my head around this whole issue. Some people, even close to Simpson, were surprised when they learned about the book deal. His attorney bluntly admits that he's PO'd. O.J. kept him in the dark about it. He calls the profits, O.J.'s attorney calls the profits blood money and says, I definitely would not have approved this. The attorney says the whole thing is something of a bait and switch. Only one of the 7 chapters deals with the murder, he says, and nowhere does O.J. admit to killing anyone. Even though, says the attorney, I would not have done it for a gazillion dollars. Simpson's children evidently don't share his misgivings. O.J. says that the attorney says that O.J.'s 4 grown children, 2 from a previous marriage and 2 he had with Nicole, were among the few people who knew about the deal before last week, and he says that they approved. Simpson's children are not talking publicly about the book. The rest of the country seemed unable to denounce it fast enough, even as pre-publication sales of the book raced toward the top of Amazon.com's rankings. Bookstores around the country said that they would stock the book, but not display it. Now, wait a minute. We'll stock it, but we're not going to display it. We'll take your money, but we're going to pretend we're not taking your money. Talk to me about this. We'll stock it, but we're not going to display it. Some others said that they would only sell it by special order only. Borders said, I think, that they would donate the profits to charity. Some Fox affiliates said that they would not air the interview. Remember, there were going to be a couple of interviews with O.J. that Judith Reagan was going to conduct. And two of the Fox News Channel's heaviest hitters condemned it. Bill O'Reilly slammed his Fox bosses and said he wouldn't even watch the show or look at the book and threatened to boycott any product that was advertised during the interview. And as if to remind us that the burden of irony rests lighter on some than on others, hurrah! Geraldo Rivera, a journalistic slut, if ever there was one. Geraldo got himself all lathered up about the victims, and so he criticized Fox. Simpson's friend and the family says that at this point he's got nothing to lose. He can't sink any lower in the public eye. There's nothing he can do to make the Goldmans or Browns happy, says a close family member. He would have to drop dead, and that wouldn't be enough. They'd find something wrong if he was saving dying kids in Africa. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, because guess what Fox has just announced? You may have heard it at the top of the news hour. News Corp, the parent company of book publisher HarperCollins and the Fox Network, has canceled publication of O.J. Simpson book and the TV special If I Did It. Now here's Rupert talking, Rupert Murdoch. He says, I and senior management agree with the American public that this was an ill-considered project. We are sorry for any pain that this has caused the families of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. Ask yourself, who was going to be the advertisers? Who would want to advertise on these kind of shows? Ginzu Knives? I don't think so. I don't think any of the blue chip companies are going to want to advertise on this special had it occurred. So what kind of bottom feeder, you'd have those infomercials. But wait, there's more. 1995. But wait, there's more. So I don't know who the advertisers would have been. But Fox caved to this. And they have agreed with the American public that this was an ill-considered project. I think they probably would have made some dough on this one. So what do you think? They actually, were they scruples or what was it? An industry trade publication called Broadcasting and Cable editorialized against the show, saying Fox should cancel this evil sweeps stunt. This is for sweeps month. For November sweeps, you remember now what I told you about sweeps in television. When they do sweeps, they want to jack those ratings up, so that's when you get some really plummy, juicy programming, and in order to set the advertising rates at the highest possible level. So the sweeps periods set advertising, and that's why there's so many things to choose from during sweeps. And we are in November sweeps right now. A dozen Fox affiliates had already said they would not air the two-part sweeps month special planned for next week before the book's publication. What are your thoughts? 349-1320. Why do you think they really bagged out of this? They could have actually made some money. But you think that Rupert's got some other deals and he's going to need some public approval for some of the other things he's going to do? And this is so junky. This is so sleazy. It is so cheesy. It's so smelly. And here is Nora Ephron talking about Judith Regan, and I will share that with you in just a moment. Let's head over to the phones. Jim in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hey, hey, you know, how do you feel about the stopping of publication of a book because of public pressure?
Well, I didn't make that decision. They decided to, Rupert Murdoch decided to do it. Tell me what's on your mind.
I just don't think that it's a good thing for publishers to bow to public pressure. First of all, I think it would have been really good for O.J. to come out with this book because people would have known what most people know anyways. Possibly he could have set himself up for some future indictments, maybe not on this charge, but some other charge. But I also don't think that it's such a good idea that just because something's an unpopular subject or an uncomfortable subject that it should be squashed.
Okay, well, let me give you an example. Supposing they came out with the kiddie porn book. How about they came out with the kiddie porn book and it was all computer-generated images, no actual children were used in the making of this book, and there was a lot of public outrage over this book, but the publisher said, you know, if I come out with the kiddie porn book, I could make a lot of money. I could open up kindergartens. I could open up kindergartens all over the universe. So I think I'll publish this kitty porn book using only computer-generated images, which I believe now is legal to do. So he wouldn't get hauled off to the pokey for that. And people were outraged. They were incensed. They were, this is offending our whatever morals we have left, and they're not too many that we have left. What would you say about that one, Jim?
You know, it's funny because I've often brought that argument up in cases with people about that case, that exact case there, because no children are harmed in computer-generated...
Well, but what if a publisher decided it was going to make a lot of money this way, or however much money it could make doing this?
What would you say
if there was so much public pressure when people finally say, you know, well, we don't want this. Enough is enough. We are against this. This is a taboo, and we're not going to support it. And we're outraged.
But then take a movie like Saw that came out that's so very popular. How could people not be disgusted?
Yeah, but answer the question. Supposing somebody was going to publish the kiddie porn book, and there was so much public outrage against it that they dropped the project. Can you understand how that happens?
Well, kiddie porn is like Indian casinos to me. Since I don't do it, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, Jim? That's a disingenuous response to the argument. But I think you bring up an interesting point. And what you're saying is, should publishers cave to public pressure? And I think they have to make that decision for themselves. When you have outraged the body politic, I'll tell you what Rupert might have been thinking. He might have been thinking, I can sell a lot of these books, and I will, but I'm going to have some stuff down the line, and this is not going to help me much. And it might not have helped him with, you know, all other business deals. It might have been very offensive had it been brought up, and maybe it doesn't help him with, I don't know who, his own shareholders in some way. But I thank you for bringing up the issue. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What do you think about what Jim said? Well, should a publisher cave to public pressure? I think if he's smart, he ought to. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, and the OJ book not going to be published. No two specials with OJ either. I wonder if he's getting any money for those specials. I wonder if he gets to keep his advance. Being paid to his children, because, you know, if it goes to OJ, then I think it's got to go to satisfy that civil judgment against him. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. I am just absolutely loving this weather. You know, on the way here, my car was, it really wasn't raining, but the mist, I mean, I had to do the windshield wiper thing and turn on the air conditioner, the heater, and it's going to happen tonight as well. Tomorrow, the heater's probably going to be needed. We're going to see lows around 42, nice and chilly, though high's going to come up right around 62, 88% humidity, and we're going to see that tomorrow as well. Our traffic slowed down southbound 99. It looks like on the way, Fruit Ridge Road, Elk Grove Boulevard, Laguna Boulevard, and Florin Road. Now, that's all on the opposite side as well. Northbound I-5 just south of Florin Road, and Sutterville, also Elk Grove Boulevard, now northbound I-5. There's 2 and 3 car crashes. Enid Live will continue on this Monday at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Party special occasion.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mind, America.
Monday, pre-Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about O.J., Shades of the Past. We're talking about O.J. and the fact that his book and special have just been yanked by Rupert Murdoch, by News Corp, by Fox. Why do you think that is? I can't believe we finally came to a place that's so sleazy that even Fox doesn't want to go for it. And Bill O'Reilly, no moral paragon there. They're making an opera in 31 parts of his those sexual allegations against him by a producer, former producer of his. Even Bill O'Reilly slammed the project. So what do you think happened? What do you think the backstory is? One of you called in just to ask, hey, is it fair for a publisher to cave to pressure? Well, I think every publisher makes that decision. Nobody's got a gun in the publisher's back to publish something. They publish it because they want to make a profit. I never knew Fox to have all that many scruples. It's amazing that they have one or two left. But people are really outraged. They were outraged that O.J. walked away, and they are outraged that he stands to make a lot of money. It would go to his children. And imagine the position, writing a hypothetical confession about killing Nicole and Ron Goldman. Imagine the position it puts his children in, that they're making money when their father is. And don't you think they're always going to wonder their whole life, no matter how much they've rationalized it? Don't you think they're always going to wonder, did Dad kill Mom? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And then you have Cruella de Vil in the mix, the evil Judith Regan, who has her own imprint at HarperCollins, and write, you know, and publishes this, you know, she is kind of a bottom feeder. That is really true. So here's Nora Ephron writing about her, and she says, I should declare a bias. She says, I've met Judith Regan on several occasions, and we have something in common. We both survived bad divorces without having to move to Connecticut. She has spent her life working hard and, as a sideline, popping up in many dramas, the most compelling of which is her own personal life, writes Nora Ephron about Judith Regan, which has contained a number of exciting episodes, including her bad divorce, A major run-in with the New York police over a parking space that led, as I recall, to a night in jail. Yes, this Judith Regan. And a very messy affair with the former, now discredited and disgraced, New York City Police Commissioner Bernard Carrick, whom she also published, which, in its happy beginnings, included his dispatching the police department to retrieve her lost cell phone, and which, at its end, involved him stalking her, once again, with the help of the police. Along the way, there were a series of trysts in a downtown apartment that was donated to the city in order to give then-Police Chief Carrick a place to lay his weary head during his investigative work in the aftermath of 9/11. In any case, writes Nora Ephron, sticking it into this Judith Regan that she purports to like. In any case, I like Judith Regan. I can't help it. And I was sad this week when she felt she had to defend her decision to publish and interview O.J. by issuing a 2,200-word statement on the subject, most of which appeared in Friday's newspapers. And Friday's New York Post, which is also owned by Rupert Murdoch. In it, Regan claims that she published O.J. because, having been beaten up by a former boyfriend, who denies these allegations, by the way, she's on a personal crusade against domestic abuse. I wish Judith Regan had checked with me before issuing the statement, writes Nora Ephron. I am a big believer in not explaining any more than you have to. I'm also a believer in not using the word amen, although I'm guilty of it from time to time. And I don't think you have to go all the way back to Mein Kampf, which Regan used as an example of a book that is still in print after all these years, having also been written by a less than likable author, to defend publishing whatever this thing is that O.J. and his ghostwriter, he didn't write it, he didn't even write it himself, have come up with. I don't really think, writes Nora Ephron, you have to defend publishing this book at all. It's news. Just get it out there. So there it is. A little bit of more juicy background on Judith Regan and her life with Bernard Carrick, who is now disgraced and discredited, and then she had some kind of an altercation over a parking space that caused her to spend a night in the pokey. I mean, this is the level you're dealing with. So, you know, I have to tell you, I'm really thrilled that the book got pulled. I think this is great. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm surprised. How low can you go? Maybe they realized there was not going to be any advertising for this. Who would be the... Put your thinking caps on. Who would be the most appropriate advertisers for this special starring O.J.? Had it occurred? You know, somebody said, one wag said Ginzu Knives wasn't going to probably advertise. And you can't imagine that any of the really fancy blue chip advertisers are going to want to be associated with this scuzzy thing that you watch. And then if you it's like a car accident. You want to watch it and then you got to take a shower afterward. You feel so greasy having watched this thing. So I can't think of off the top of my head. I have to think of what advertisers would this have been a good fit with. I don't know. If you have any thoughts, we want to hear them. And I love Charlie Rangel. I think he is terrific. I think he is such a, he's a puckish congressman. And here is what he is calling for. He is calling for the draft. He thinks it should be a shared sacrifice. He thinks that if you are going to, that you need to take it seriously if you're going to send people into war. And it should be the children, and if it were the children of Congress, of the men and women who, of the administration, they might think twice about it. And I have some juicy news about what they promise you when they try to recruit you. They promise you all this kind of stuff. They even write it down, and it's completely not binding. I just want you to have a heads up on this. I met an attorney who deals with these kinds of issues. And if they recruit you and you never show up the first time, I think you're okay. But if they recruit you and you do show up and then you take off, you go, then you're not okay. Then you're in the soup. Mike in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid, this is Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
About Nora Ephron, you may be too young to remember this book, but there was a book in the late 60s called The Sensuous Woman by Jay. Remember that?
I'm not really, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, the author of that was guess who? Nora Ephron when she was an undergraduate at Wellesley.
Are you sure about that? Because she wrote Heartburn. I don't remember that she wrote The Sensuous Woman.
Yeah, my cousin went to school with her.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
All right, we'll look it up and we'll see if she did. But I don't. If that's the case, it's news to me. What do you think about the O.J. Project being dropped?
Oh, for God's sake! That's just a ridiculous. I'm surprised. Good thing Murdoch caved on that thing. I was thinking about what the other caller said about making apples and oranges comparison. He was getting a censorship.
Right.
And no law. Nobody. The censoring that book. Murdoch decided not to publish it.
He decided not to publish it for, I imagine, a whole host of business reasons, and well, maybe a whole delegation of his top personnel came to him and said, "Look, this is just too cheesy. Even for us, it's too cheesy."
Even in my view, he shouldn't have published it at all. Even considered the damn thing. I sure as hell wouldn't spend $30 on that book.
No, but I think it's. I wonder what they're going to do with it. Are they going to cut it up and toss them out? I guess they were going to ship them fairly quick, so they must exist in warehouses somewhere. That will be interesting because if they make it onto eBay, they'll probably be valuable collector's items.
That is possible.
Mike, thanks for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Charlie Rangel. He is saying he's pushing for a military draft. Now, I don't know if he's serious or if he's being puckish. I think it's great because I don't think we'd be marching into these ridiculous wars if the draft were reinstated. I think it's the only thing that would get kids politically active. They'd be marching in the streets if they had to be drafted. But Nancy Pelosi is saying no to Rangel's draft bill. Why is she saying no? Does she think it's going to alienate Democrats if the draft is reinstated on their watch? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday pre-Thanksgiving, pre-shopping, pre-turkey, post-pre-Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Gotta work out 5 or 6 times as soon as we're done eating that turkey or ham or whatever we do. I have a friend that's vegetarian, and she has tofurkey, I think it's called. Isn't that hilarious?
No, it's tofu turkey.
Oh, well,
tofurkey.
Whatever.
And I know somebody who makes a Thanksgiving tofurkey in the shape of the country of Turkey.
Oh, that is adorable. So how's this? Vegetarian meatloaf? I like that one, too. The traffic is looking pretty good. You know, I'm sure, though, on Thanksgiving Day, it's going to be a little thin driving southbound 99, so we should take advantage of it today. Northbound I-5 just south of Elk Grove Boulevard, we do have a vehicle on the right-hand side of the road and a 2-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320
Sacramento's Left Channel.
During the season.
New rule. Stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $100. $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm bringing sexy back.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live. Aren't you feeling all that holiday energy in the air? I mean, the workplace isn't quite the same. It's the traffic is a little bit different than usual. I don't know. You can just feel it. A lot of people have already left town. Some are going. It's going to be a tough travel time, as it always is. So be careful and check to be sure that you're taking on the right amount of gels and all that other stuff that you got to do now when you get over to the airport if you're going to do your carry-on with you. So we're talking about a number of things. We're talking about the fact that OJ's special and book have both been canceled. I bet you books exist. I bet you they're in warehouses because they were going to be shipped fairly quickly here. And I'll bet you they're going to get out. And if that's the case, I bet you some of them wind up on eBay. And if that's the case, I bet you they become collector's items. What do you think? 349-1320, 866-620-6120, and Charlie Rangel. I like him. I find him delightful. He's a Korean War vet. And he is a congressman. And he is he's a guy who is not afraid to be blunt spoken, but he is campaigning on behalf of a military draft. He is the incoming chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. He said that he will push to renew the military draft as lawmakers in both parties sharpen their criticisms of the situation in Iraq and struggle for consensus and for solutions. Nancy Pelosi, however, is not going for this. She says no to Rangel's draft bill. Incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said today that Charlie Rangel's call for reinstatement of the draft is something he has long championed to promote shared sacrifice. But Pelosi, having just concluded a meeting with incoming House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer to discuss the Democratic agenda, said that the leadership will not support the measure. It's not about a draft. It's about shared sacrifice in our country, Pelosi told reporters in her Capitol Hill office. Mr. Rangel will be very busy with his work on the Ways and Means Committee, which jurisdiction is quite different, but he is a strong voice for social justice in our country. And that's a way to make the point that this war has not involved or made any shared sacrifice. When asked directly if she supported the measure, Nancy Pelosi said, no, but how are you going to get shared sacrifice if the only people going, it's volunteer, we don't have enough of them? I think if it were the kids of your beloved, the kids of your friends, your own children, your own grandchildren, people would be screaming. If it were the children of administration members, the people who were so cavalierly sent your children off to fight, then I think we would have more of an idea here of shared sacrifice. Phil in SAC, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Curious as to whether or not you'd brought up one of your favorites there, John Do Nothing Doolittle, regarding the fact that we're sending people over to Iraq.
Why don't we send him? We could send him over.
Well, that would be good.
Let's do that. Let's
just, we got him there, but nonetheless, what I was curious about was, do you recall that one scene in Fahrenheit 9/11? Wherein he stopped, he being Michael Moore, stopped Doolittle on the street and asked him if he would be willing to send any of his children over there. And
what did Doolittle do? I think he ran away from him, didn't he?
He ran away. Just as he ran away, the night he won the election, I don't know if you remember that, from the television coverage, his headquarters was quieter than Charlie Brown.
All right, so let me ask you a question here. What about the draft, reinstating the draft as a way to promote shared sacrifice?
Well, my thoughts are that it's a decent proposal.
People are going to scream about it. People will not want to see it go through, and the Democrats will not want to push it through nobody wants to risk that with their children. But it's one way to get people to pay attention to where we are sending our children to fight.
Exactly. Well, again, this current president apparently likes to claim that we know that we're at war. So many people don't understand that we're at war because it's always someone else's kid.
Well, that's it. And he managed to get himself back to Vietnam 30 years late.
Well, 35 years late, in my opinion, but you're right. Exactly. And But if we had a real president who we could trust that he would not send us into these forays for personal issues, which is apparently what Iraq was initially, that would be okay. But the thing is that if, in fact, regarding the volunteer army, or volunteer service, if the volunteer service was something that we could trust, our president to not send our children into harm's way unnecessarily, yes. But President Bush has damaged the volunteer ethic.
I want to tell you something. I talked to an attorney yesterday who handles some of these military cases,
mm-hmm.
and he says that these recruiters promise these kids all kinds of things that they have no intentions of ever fulfilling, and then they write it down, but it's not binding, and the kids don't know it. They promise them that they're not going to have to go to Iraq.
Uh-huh.
Can you believe that? And then 2 minutes after they go in, and then when they come to their senses, if they don't show up in the beginning, then I think you check with your own attorneys, and I think it's okay. But if you have shown up and you get processed, and then you decide not to show up, then you are in the soup.
Right.
Phil, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. David in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, David.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Should we have a draft? Yes or no?
Should we have what?
A draft, yes or no?
I really believe we were going to have a draft until the Democratic Party got off their doofuses and took possession back. I really believe that...
No, the Republicans don't want a draft. They don't want to even talk about a draft.
I believe Bush was going to attack Iran and we were going to be stuck.
he may want to still attack Iran, but he doesn't want a draft.
Well, you can't put a million people over there and not have a draft.
Well, he doesn't. You know what? He's the same kind of thinking that is giving tax cuts to the richest and continues to fight these very expensive wars. So it doesn't matter that he doesn't have enough people. He still wants to do it, and he doesn't want a draft, David. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, it's slow-moving traffic going northbound 99 and just on Cap City Freeway there northbound. On Arden Way, three-car crash. On the way to Roseville, there's a three-car crash there just past Madison Avenue on I-80. And coming back I-5, Chase Street, I believe, there's a two-car crash involving a big rig. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because it got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is, you know, me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them. Artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320. I'm going to be off on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Back with you on Monday, 3 to 7. But I'm taking some Thanksgiving time off, and I expect that some of you are as well. So I just want to give you a heads up. You're going to be in great hands, though. You're going to be in the hands of wonderful Air America programming. 349-1320, we're talking about the draft. Charlie Rangel wants to institute it, reinstitute the draft. He said it will result...
Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
The plug is pulled on O.J. Simpson's book and TV special.
Frankly, it's about time.
A horrible school bus crash in Alabama.
Bam, 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 but it sounded like a, when it first hit it, it just sounded like a bomb went off.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was so outrageous it sounded like a hoax, but a controversial O.J. Simpson book and a Fox TV special to promote it have been canceled. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes reports.
Crushed under relentless criticism for its plans to air O.J. Simpson's confession, Today News Corporation caved, saying it would cancel the deal for a two-part TV special and a book called If I Did It. In the book, Simpson was to describe how he would have committed the murders of his ex-wife and her friend Ron Goldman.
Goldman's father, Fred, contacted for reaction to the reversal, told CBS News it's about time. Goldman's sister says it's too late to stop O.J. Simpson from cashing in. She says he's already been paid $3.5 million. That was Michael Richards' racist rant at a West Hollywood comedy club Friday night. The man who played the quirky character Kramer on Seinfeld lost it when he was heckled by a black man. Richards unleashed a barrage of insults, including the N-word. Audience members, black and white, were stunned. Many walked out. Tonight, Richards appears on The Late Show with David Letterman to apologize.
For me to be in a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, you know, I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Comedian Paul Rodriguez was at the Laugh Factory when it happened.
The audience came here expecting to see Kramer, and they got Mark Furman.
That's right.
We are saddened by this.
He says Richards will no longer be accepted at the club. Now this.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
The Office Depot free Thanksgiving sale. Our prices won't be beat on notebook computers, digital cameras, MP3 players, and HD TVs. We won't be undersold. So shop now through Wednesday and avoid the after Thanksgiving crowds. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Quantities limited while supplies last.
It was a routine trip for students at Lee High School in Huntsville, Alabama. They were taking a bus to the Center for Technology, where they take advanced courses in math and science. But this morning, the driver had trouble on the road.
Car had came and cut the bus off, and he tried to dodge it. But when he dodged it, he bumped into the other car and turned it back, and then it felt like the bus turned up.
The bus tore through a guardrail, plunged off a highway overpass, and crashed nose first, 30 feet below.
From the sound of it, you would have thought it would have been torn all to pieces when it hit the ground.
Molly Hawkins works nearby.
When it first hit, it just sounded like a bomb went off, and then a couple of more sounded like bounces or whatever. I mean, one of our guys went out, and we heard it, and he hollered, "Holy, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but call 911.
Rescue workers found broken bodies thrown all over the bus. It had no seatbelts. Three teenage girls were killed, at least 30 people injured, some critically. More than 3 years ago, a car driven by an 86-year-old man plowed into a farmer's market in Los Angeles, killing 10 people. Today, George Weller was sentenced to probation. He's just shy of 90 now and confined to bed. The judge said it wouldn't make any sense to send him to prison. What do IRS auditors and legendary bank robber Willie Sutton have in common? They go where the money is. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive joins us live with the latest on tax enforcement.
Bill, a focus on the wealthy, a much higher chance of being audited. One out of 16 returns filed by those with incomes of $1 million or more are being examined. If you earn over $100,000, it's one out of 60 being audited. Too scared to cheat? Good, says the head of the IRS, Mark Everson.
It's not just about the money we get directly. It's when we do an audit and that individual talks to his or her neighbor, the neighbor is more compliant, files more honestly.
Out of all returns, it's still one out of 100 audited. Small business and charities also being scrutinized. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
If you've ever struggled...
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Real life. 4:05, 5 minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to hour two of the pre-holiday Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, and I'm taking Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off. I will be back with you on Monday. So all the business that we have to wrap up with each other and all the conversation that we have with each other, we need to do it today and we need to do it tomorrow. You're going to be in great hands with Air America Radio, so that will be a good thing. And I will be back with you same time, same place on Monday. So let me share with you what we have been talking about. We've been talking about the fact that the O.J. Simpson special and book have both been canceled. They probably exist somewhere. It's being reported that he has already been paid the $3.5 million, or it's going to his children, because if it goes to him, then it goes right out of his pocket to satisfy the civil judgment against him brought by the victims' families. So I don't know whether he's going to have to give that money back or not. He gets to keep $3.5 million. The books exist, since the publication date was November the 30th. The books exist somewhere in warehouses, probably, that they're going to have to rip the covers off and burn them or do something, but some will make it through. And those you will find on eBay for an astronomical amount of money, because they will be collector's copies. We're also talking about Charlie Rangel, who's, I think he's always puckish and interesting. And for a long time now, he's been pressing for the reinstitution of the draft, because it's a way to share the sacrifice. It's a way to keep politicians from storming into wars just willy-nilly when we shouldn't be going to war. Rangel is himself a decorated Korean War vet. And, of course, a congressman. The Democrats don't want anything to do with it, nor do the Republicans, as a matter of fact. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi has said it's not his area to deal in, and she doesn't support the reinstitution of the draft. But what do you think? Somebody just called in the last hour and said everybody over 50 gets to be drafted, or all men over 50. 349-1320. Does that mean 50 or their IQ or their age? 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Sources tell us that ex-Representative Mark Foley has ended his stay at a rehab facility. So he's out of rehab. It's a facility that treats alcohol addiction as well as sexual addiction. And his compulsion before he headed back to Florida to attend the funeral of his father. So his father died while he was in rehab. I don't know if he had a chance to see him or not. It was more for the sexual addiction, said one source, than the alcohol addiction. So I just thought I would, I don't know what you want to make of that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And Bush is in Vietnam, which is something that he managed to avoid when he had the chance to go to Vietnam. The Borowitz report, Bush goes AWOL in Vietnam, pays emergency visit to Alabama. President George W. Dickey Bush raised eyebrows in diplomatic circles over the weekend when he inexplicably went AWOL during his historic first visit to Vietnam. The president had been expected to discuss such pressing issues as trade and security with Vietnamese leaders, making his mysterious disappearance all the more controversial. But according to reporters traveling with Mr. Bush on Air Force One, the summit was ill-fated from the start as the president was overheard muttering, "How the heck can I get out of going to Vietnam?" Shortly after his arrival in Hanoi, Mr. Bush craftily eluded his Secret Service escorts, escaping through the window of his hotel room via a makeshift rope of bedsheets. When the president was a no-show at a state dinner that evening, it fell to White House spokesman Tony Snow to report to the gathering of dignitaries and reporters, "I'm afraid the president has flown the coop." According to Mr. Snow, Dickey left behind a scrawled note on hotel stationery indicating that he had to attend to an emergency in Alabama. The mystery deepened, however, when Alabama authorities issued a statement indicating that there was no evidence that the president had shown up in their state at all. Within minutes of Mr. Bush's disappearance from Hanoi, the Vietnamese government invited Vice President Dick Cheney to take his place, but Mr. Cheney deferred accepting that invitation five times. "I have other priorities," the vice president explained. Well, you remember that when they tried to draft him five times, he avoided the draft, and he always said he had other priorities. And Dickey just was AWOL. You know, he joined an Alabama National Guard unit and never showed up. He was in the Texas National Guard, but then he managed to get transferred to Alabama, and he never showed up. So that's the Borowitz report, satire. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Charlie Rangel. Renewing calls for the draft. You agree, you disagree. Democrats don't want it, and the Republicans don't want it. John in Carmichael, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, I've got something further on those 50-year-old draftees.
Yes.
Now, I understand.
Why do we want 50-year-old draftees?
Well, basically, sending the people to war who voted for war, but we don't have voter rosters.
Let it be white Republican males.
Well,
low IQ.
Donald Rumsfeld is unemployed, right? Why doesn't he get sent to Iraq?
Oh.
And we got a couple of guys, Bush, Cheney, that are going to be unemployed.
How about Richard?
About 2 years. If the war is still going on 2 years from now, why don't they go to Iraq?
How about Richard Pombo, who's not yet, who's 45 only?
Oh, he's unemployed too.
Yeah, he's unemployed.
Okay, that's all. Thank
okay,
you.
I like that. Thank you very much for that. That's a good idea. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Aaron and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Aaron.
Oh, hello.
Welcome. The draft, hey. The draft, yes or no?
I say yes.
Because?
Well, I think that if we're going to be a nation at war, we should be a nation at war. And I think anytime we declare war on anybody, we should also at the same time, by default, be declaring a draft.
Can I ask you how old you are?
I am 26.
That means you would be eligible probably for the draft.
That's fine.
You that would be okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. What if you had to go to something you didn't believe in?
Well, that doesn't mean that just because I'm against the war doesn't mean I'm against the draft. if we are at war.
Okay. Okay, I follow your thinking. Thank you very much, Aaron, for weighing in. I appreciate it. You know, if we're talking about shared sacrifice in terms of going to war, what about shared sacrifice in terms of taxes and so on? How is it that the rich get all these breaks? How is it that the income for the rich is so much huger, astronomical than it is for ordinary people? How is that? You know, I think if we're talking about, you know, I'll tell you what, all these, the Democrats won. One of the ways that the Democrats won in this last election was on the basis of populism, because I think we all have a sense of fairness. And the Democrats were really able to sell that. And I think if they, selling it is one thing and making it happen is another thing. And so I think if we're talking about shared sacrifice, you do it all the way around. Everybody rolls up their sleeves and they do it. This difference between what the richest make in terms of compensation and what our ordinary people make, which has gotten ridiculous, is not a way of demonstrating either populism or shared sacrifice. Rob and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. The draft, yes or no?
I would definitely say yes on the draft. I'm for it because I believe that what Rangel is exactly trying to do is just point out the hypocrisy and hold these people, both Democrat and Republicans, feet to the fire. I think the Democrats are more to blame for maybe the situation that we're in, because they, I don't know if it, them thinking that by voting to give this knucklehead the authority to go to war, not declare war, but the authority at least to use force. I mean, shame on them. And I am a Democrat and proud to be a Democrat, but I would definitely say if they wanted to show the world and to show everyone else that they are serious about national security and about defending this country, that they would be willing to send our best and brightest to that front line, because John Kerry was right. Our best and our brightest are not in Iraq right now. That's how pathetic it is.
Well, and they've had to lower standards in order to make their quotas, and they're still not making their quotas. I heard it reported that they offer some people $40,000, sometimes $70,000 in order to recruit them. They promise them all kinds of things that they have no intention and not and legally binding. It's not legally binding that they come through with what they have promised. They'll promise them that they're not going to send them to Iraq, so these kids sign up, and they give them a document that says you're not going to Iraq, and it has no legal status at all. The government can send them anywhere they want.
That's happening all over the place.
Yeah.
Burton was doing the same thing with its driver, saying that you'll get a Medal of Honor or a Medal of Freedom or some baloney like that, and these truck drivers out in the desert, that's completely, it's lockstep with the whole agenda. Lie to get what you need, and we've been seeing it for the past since 2003. And another thing real quick, I'll finish on with Foley. Foley is now, I'm happy to say, a non-issue. And I think we're best at just leaving it at that.
Well, maybe we can draft him.
We need to start talking about, we need to keep talking about the draft, exactly. Let's draft him.
Okay, Rob, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Speaking of civilian workers, there are a lot of civilian workers now suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, combat trauma. And they don't have the same kind of programs available to them as people who are members of the military. But the whole reason that you went to Iraq to be a truck driver or to do whatever needed to be done is that you were going to make an astronomical amount of money very quickly. And now they're complaining that the war has followed them home and that they're having a hard time adjusting and so on. You know what? I don't know. I feel it's too bad. I don't mean to sound as hard-hearted as I'm sure I'm going to sound, but they made a decision to do it. They didn't have to go. They went there to make a lot of money, and now they're coming back traumatized, and guess what? They decided to go. Is this my responsibility? Is it your responsibility? Am I being too awful to say that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. They weren't 20-year-olds or 18-year-olds who didn't know any better and who decided to go to war. Alan and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. The draft, yes or no? Alan?
Oh, I'm against the draft.
You're against it. Why?
Well, I was in the young when the Vietnam War was going on, and I didn't want to participate in it, but yet I was going to get drafted, and so I joined the Air Force. So I think it's a way for young men to protest the war because they're not meeting their quota, so obviously not enough people think this is a...
That's exactly right, but if there were a draft, people would be in the streets protesting, and the war would never have gotten this far.
That could be, but I just think that young men should be given a choice whether they want to go into the service.
Well, they don't want to go, and if it's only the people who volunteer, then you have an administration like this one who will use them for fodder, and that's exactly what they have done. 349-1320, I think Chuck Rangel wants to promote a dialogue about it. He wants people to be engaged in the discussion. He wants the administration to have some skin in the game, and they don't. John, in SAC, hi, you're live with Enid. The draft, yes or no?
Yes.
Why?
Draft them. I got drafted during the Vietnam War, and who's going to fight our wars? You know?
Well, yeah, but if you are drafted, then I think you're going to see protesting in the streets.
Oh, yeah, that'll bring the water in real quick.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, you always have the best topics, my goddess.
Oh, thank you, John. Yeah. We like that. Thank
you're always up to the minute.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
I listen to you every day.
Well, thank you. Is this, how often have you called?
Maybe twice. Yeah.
Well, keep calling us.
All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Did you watch the last episode of Prime Suspect? I got the tail end of it last night after my pre-Thanksgiving dinner. I watched it a little bit in the city and then drove home late at night. Oh, it was so foggy and soupy. But boy, was that good. Helen Mirren is so good. The draft. That's what we're talking about. Charlie Rangel is saying we ought to institute it, shared sacrifice. Nancy Pelosi said, not his jurisdiction. We don't want it. The Republicans don't want it either. You know why they don't want it? They don't want protest. Steve in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
That's on the draft. I think the way it's being proposed, it's not all military, that some of it would be for some other types of public service. But I think it does a lot of people a lot of good, especially people that are, you know, troubled kids.
Would you be? How old are you, Steve?
I'm up there in age. I'm over 40.
Okay, so you're too old. We had people call in and said they only want to draft you if you're 50 and over. So you can sign up for this happy event in your future. All right, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Marvin in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Marvin.
Hi. I'd like to make a point. I'm in favor of the draft, and I'm kind of on the horns of a dilemma. Actually, I'm in favor of it, but the reason why I'm in favor of it is because from the experience from the '60s when I was a draft age, people don't realize how a draft democratizes an army. You had a lot of people in Vietnam who didn't really want to be there. They rocked the boat. They did things that this administration would not like to have to deal with, because it's not a private army that'll do what they say. You always have free thinkers, and that's why the Republicans probably don't want a draft. People think they want one. I seriously doubt it.
No, you're absolutely right. They do not want a draft, and I think the reason they don't want a draft, it may be what you say, but I think they want no public discussion about it, because people would be protesting in the streets and they would not be as free to send everybody's kids in and brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces in as cannon fodder. That's why I think they don't want the draft, Marvin. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Jim in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim. Draft, yes or no?
A little different approach. I think we should do like a lot of the places in Europe do. I think every single young man and woman should have to spend a minimum of 6 months in the military. And I believe every congressman's son and daughter, just like Doolittle, he spent a couple of years down in Argentina. Every congressman's son and daughter need to spend 1 year preparing themselves for work.
I'll tell you what I like, and I don't know about the military. I haven't gotten that far, but I do like the idea of everybody has to do some stint of public service for the public good. Whether, you know, if you say volunteer and yet it's mandatory, how volunteer is that? But that you have to do some kind of public service something, because we have gotten so selfish and so disconnected from each other. People who live in one set of circumstances have no idea about people who live in other sets of circumstances. And I think that would be, and kids are most idealistic. In the Israeli army, you know, everybody's got to be a member. Men and women both have to go into the Israeli army. So I don't know about military everybody go into, but I want to see people helping each other right after high school, maybe take that year. And you have to, that's mandatory. You have to do it.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. As a matter of fact, when I was a young man and I was drafted in Vietnam, they gave guys an option. They gave kids who were troublemakers, they gave them a choice of going to Preston, which is a reform school around here, or going in the service. And I know of five different guys that took the choice of the service, and every one of them, in fact, two of them became millionaires, but the rest of them became just excellent citizens. And I think and you talked about the melting pot. When I was in the service, Dusty Baker was one of the only black families around here, and I found myself among members of every race, and it was the best experience I ever had in my life.
You're lucky to come home to be able to tell about it. I had somebody, my mother's friend's son, who came back from Vietnam and was never the same again. He had major substance abuse issues, health issues. He recently died too young, and he was never the same. So you were somebody who got a lot out of it. Not everybody did, Jim. But I thank you. I see your point, and I like it a lot. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Carlos in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Carlos.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. So are you?
I wanted to comment on the draft. I think it's a good idea. I think we need to share the responsibility for this war. I think that the Chicken Hawks have been saying that we need to stay the course. We need to fight until we achieve victory, and it sounds like they have a rat in their pocket.
Well, they don't want to send their family in to do it. It's okay to send your family in, but they're not sending their kids in.
Yeah, they're willing to stay the course until the last Guamanian, the last Pacific Islander, the last Samoan, the last immigrant, the last ghetto child, the last trailer park person. But when they send their own sons and their own daughters, I think they're going to draw the line at that. That's as far as their patriotism goes.
I think you are absolutely right about that, and I'll tell you where else their patriotism doesn't go. They're supporting the troops, but when they have the chance to cut veterans' benefits, they're only too happy to oblige, Carlos, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and we have one line open. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow-moving traffic southbound 99. Now, it's southbound Cap City Freeway at East Street. Looks like we have a three-car crash there slowing things down. And an eastbound Florin Road off of southbound 99, a two-car crash. Lows tonight, we're going to see right around 42. Eyes coming up tomorrow, 62. We're at 60. And AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, Jessica. Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty. even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
/4/28 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320. I will not be yours Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, however. I will be off and back on Monday. So all the conversation and all the issues that we need to talk about, we need to wrap up in the next today and tomorrow. And what we're talking about right now, Charlie Rangel has renewed calls for a draft. The Republicans absolutely don't want to talk about it, and the Democrats don't want to support it. He's saying we need the idea of shared sacrifice. Nancy Pelosi is saying she doesn't support it at all. What do you think about it? I think if somebody had skin in the game, they wouldn't be so quick to send people off to wars, and particularly when there's no reason to do it. Scott in Yuba. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Enid. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
You know, I'm a disabled military vet. I was over in Saudi Arabia for the start of the war. I actually got fortunate. I was medically discharged, so, but I have a really good, I think I have a really full-fleshed idea for, I mean, not idea, but opinion of the draft. It really is an excellent idea because it kind of takes politics and makes people realize that, you know, politics is the bitter medicine of freedom. And you know, the cost of freedom is your political awareness, and people have kind of forgotten that. So
they would have never been able to pull off going into Iraq if there had been a draft in effect.
No, yeah, that's probably...
Because people would have debated it, and there would have been...
The only thing that got us out of Vietnam was the draft. The amount of concerned Americans because their own family members and their
that's
own
right.
friends were dying.
That's right.
But I also had another kind of interesting concept because of, you know, we have such trouble picking up presidents, apparently. I was thinking, you know, it might be kind of neat to see an American Idol go around into the country and promote an individual with certain characteristics. We might get a different type of president, maybe one actually of the people, but you never know.
well, there's a thought, Scott. You put it out there. Now people can respond to it. I thank you very much for
the call.
You're welcome. 349-1320-866-2613-20. The draft, yes or no? Mike in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi. How are you doing, Enid?
Doing well.
Hey, I would like to say that I'd like to see the draft only on one condition, that they would give preference points for people that are registered Republicans and maybe have a draft on that basis. But I think what's missing from the whole debate is what exactly do they want to initiate a draft for? The Iraq War?
I think anything that we're thinking about going into to do. I think actually, if I were of draft age, and if I were, you know, a young man of draft age, I probably wouldn't want the draft. But I think it's the only way that that there's any kind of fairness. I mean, this crowd was able to send people to their deaths on the basis of nothing, on the basis of whim, largely. And because it was a volunteer military, there was no protesting in the streets.
I understand that, but I think the reason I'm asking you that is because I think almost everybody can agree now that we are not going to accomplish what it was that we were attempting to accomplish in Iraq, whatever that was.
Well, Henry Kissinger has said it's impossible to win it. He has out and he said it, and I think everybody, he's put words to what everybody else has been feeling. And if he says it, and this is a man who's been living with the ghosts of the past for too long, and his whole outlook is colored by Vietnam, then, you know, you can forget it.
So it can't be Iraq. And if it's not Iraq, you know, during the war in Vietnam, we were at war with the Republic of North Vietnam, and it was a country. What they're attempting to do now is make war on a military tactic called terrorism. You can't make war on a military tactic of war. So what they're doing is they're making war on the whole world. It's like whoever
And it's an endless war. And the New Yorker is reporting, Seymour Hersh, who is a terrific reporter with excellent contacts, not a cheerleader, not a stenographer, somebody from the old school, old-fashioned shoe leather. He is reporting that there's a possibility with a damaged administration. The question is being asked, is it less likely to attack Iran or is it more likely to attack Iran? And he's talking, you can get this online, and I recommend you look at this piece. I thank you for the call, Mike. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. So it doesn't matter about the wars that we're in now. They have many more wars that they want to get in before their 2 years are up. Kathy in Grass Valley, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Kathy.
I was reading a book a while back, and they were kind of talking about the fact that if you have a draft, if you have everybody who's going to go into the service, what you get is a broader cross-section of people. And what it made me think about is the panic when the recruiters were having trouble recruiting people into the service. All of a sudden, the fact that you have a history of a skinhead or a white supremacist didn't seem to be the kind of stumbling block that it should have been. And people began to be able to self-select and say, yeah, me, let me go over there and do that. You don't necessarily get the kind of cross-section.
Well, wait a minute. Here's what we...
who are going to make good choices.
Well, that's true. And also, because they haven't been able to meet their goals, they have lowered standards. There's all kinds of reporting about people going into the military now who are emotionally unstable. And you've had a lot of incidents as a result of that. So I agree with you. I think maybe it's time to think about the draft, but neither the Republicans nor the Democrats want it. It'll make everybody crazy, they think. They think it'll make the electorate crazy.
You know what? Maybe we need to be crazy. Maybe we need to have the debate that only happens when you are personally invested in the answer.
There you go. I like that a lot, Kathy. I thank you for calling. 349-1320. Alex in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I'm 18, so I'm of draft age, and I almost feel like it would be unfair to ask people to go over and die for a cause that no one really knows exactly what it is, and it's a war of choice, and I don't think that serving your country and serving in a war of choice are really the same thing.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. So what you're saying is you don't want to be drafted into this dopey, ridiculous, unnecessary war, right?
Well, obviously I wouldn't want to be drafted.
You wouldn't want to be drafted, but you're not going to march in the streets unless there's a possibility that you could be drafted. How many of your friends are listening to talk radio, really, and read the newspaper? You just turned 18, and I think you're unique in this way, but how many of your friends are listening to talk radio, reading newspapers, and politically involved?
Very few, yeah.
Yeah, very few. But if there were a draft, how many people would be politically involved?
I mean, it would obviously serve to, like, to get out the word about the war and stuff like that, but I mean, I don't know, it just seems like a rash step.
Well, it may be a rash step, and we don't want you to go, particularly, and nor do you want to go. But I think if you have something like this, then the idea, the decision to go to war, will be a much more measured decision. This one was just off the top of their heads, just like everything that they have done has been. And it has altered people's lives, and it has altered the landscape for this country as well. In every way, it has been a disaster. Alex, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, Sam in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sam.
Great topic. You know, it's funny. The citizens are more willing to talk about it than the politicians who don't have the guts to talk about it. I would support the draft three quick points, and I'll be real concise here. First of all, the military brass hates the idea of a draft. They only want people that want to be there. Second thing, until we have an exit strategy, nothing should happen. That should be priority over drafting or anything. Get us an exit strategy first. And then the last thing is, I think we should have a priority registration list if we're going to have a draft, which includes the names and relatives of every public servant from the mayor's office all the way up to the presidency. And since we always fight wars for rich people, maybe we can let the rich people do some of the fighting.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not following your third point. What do you mean a registry, this kind of registry?
If everybody's got a register, then I think we should have a priority list of registers, which would include the relatives of every politician, all the way from the mayor's office of every local city to the White House. And as soon as their kids have to go fight, then that will put a stop to it.
You know, I love the idea of it, but the implementation, the bureaucracy, the patent unfairness of it would be a complete disaster. But it's a very juicy thought, Sam, and I thank you for raising the issue. 349-1320, 866-620-6120. I'm Ina Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday Holiday Getaway pre-Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, we're going to see some more humidity, of course, fog on through the next couple of days. 47 for a low, 66 for the high tomorrow. Light rain on Tuesday and Wednesday, Thanksgiving. High 63, but the sun's going to be shining. You get out there and play a little bit of volleyball after you eat your tofurkey. I like that word now. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Party special occasion. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I'll be out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and back with you on Monday. We're talking about Charlie Rangel, the wonderfully puckish Charlie Rangel. And he's saying, hey, shared sacrifice. He wants to see, and he's been talking about this for quite a while, reinstituting the draft. The Democrats don't want it. The Republicans don't want it. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want it. But you know what? It would certainly result in a dialogue about whether which wars are worth fighting. 349-1320, but our last caller made a very good point, which is that the military don't want people who are drafted. They want the people who really want to be there. Laura in SAC, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Enid. My point is, why are we talking about a draft at all? No one wants it. And the reason that the Republicans also don't want to be the person who put it forward is that they have redefined what supporting the troops means. If we were out there in the streets protesting against being in Iraq at all, they would say we were being unpatriotic. And that is my point, is that we need to redefine it again ourselves and say...
Yeah, but nobody wants to even be in the streets. That's the thing. I think the thinking is that if you had something as... something like the draft, that people would be out in the streets protesting, demonstrating. As it is, people are, in, you know, they're demonstrating with their remote controls. That's what they're doing.
Right, but I still think that if we would change our rhetoric and say that it's not about not supporting the troops, it's about not supporting the war and be protesting it and they have completely...
But how do you engage people who are not engaged in the political process unless you do something radical? I'll play devil's advocate here.
I actually agree with that. I mean, I think having the draft would actually cause people to be...
Maybe that wouldn't be a completely bad thing. But I see what you're saying. I thank you for saying it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Two-peace activists in San Francisco have planned a massive anti-war demonstration for the first day of winter. But they don't want you marching in the streets. They want you at home in bed. It's called Global Orgasm for Peace, and it was conceived by a woman who's 76 and her friend, a man who's 55, and their goal is for everyone in the world to have an orgasm on December 22nd while focusing on world peace. The orgasm gives out an incredible feeling of peace during it and after it, said the man, 55, on Sunday. Your mind is like a blank. It's a meditative state, and mass meditations have been shown to make a change. The couple are no strangers to sex and social activism. The woman, who has no relationship at all, her name is Sheehan, but she's not related to Cindy Sheehan, brought together nearly 50 women in 2002, who stripped naked and spelled out the word peace. That would be P-E-A-C-E. The stunt spawned a mini movement called Bearing Witness, and that would be spelled B-A-R-I-N-G, that led to similar unclothed demonstrations worldwide. The couple have studied evolutionary psychology. She's 76, he's 55, and believe that war is mainly an outgrowth of men trying to impress potential mates. A case of, quote, my missile is bigger than your missile. By promoting what they hope to be a synchronized global orgasm, they hope to get people to channel their sexual energy into something more positive. The couple said interest appears strong, with 26,000 hits a day to their website. The dream, said the man, is to have everybody in the world take part. And if that means laying down your gun for a few minutes, then hey, all the better. 349-1320. This is one of the reasons we love San Francisco. Casey and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Casey.
I wanted to comment on the draft, but I like the idea of the global orgasm. It would probably help out a lot, I bet.
Yes, I sure would.
Yeah. My comment is that I would be in support of the draft if, on one condition, this administration was completely removed from power and replaced with somebody or a group of people who have a very acute knowledge and are competent with the military. And I think that obviously W has not shown his competence in that area, and it would be pretty irresponsible to...
You'd have a very tiny area in which he has shown his competence. Drinking, blow, those are two of the areas where he's been more than competent. and being incompetent is a huge territory for him. That's a huge geography that he has been competent in being incompetent, if that makes any sense, Casey. Okay. I see what you're saying, and I thank you very much for saying it. 349-1320, Melanie in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Melanie.
Hi. I have a comment. I would support the draft, but only if they first draft 20-something-year-old party girls with the first names of Jenna and Barbara.
Well, what are they going to draft them to do? Drink or what? A party or what?
Well, I guess they could sit at bars in Baghdad. I don't know.
What have they been doing? You know, what are those two little slutettes been up to, those two? Are they doing any kind of public service? Are they teaching? Are they enhancing the public good in any way, as far as we know?
I heard that one of them went to South America to teach school or something, but I don't know how far that went.
Oh, I don't know either. But there were pictures of Barbara with a special dress on that had a pocket in the back that holds that will hold a Go cup. You know, so you can drink your beer. She was at a tailgate party, like a football game for one of the Ivy League schools. And, you know, she didn't want to be without it, but she didn't want to be too far from her Go cup at any given moment. So,
yeah.
There you go, Melanie. All right. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Dave in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, I'm at this duty here, and I just wanted to go and comment on this whole thing about, like, the draft. I do not support the draft. We have ample military right now, and so all of us have pretty much come in by our own choosing, and to go on mandate.
And now, wait a minute. Are you in the military or you're not in the military?
I am active duty military.
You are? And, okay, so you came in as a volunteer. Why did you join the military?
I came in as a patriotic duty. We have the free right to vote. Everyone who's here has the right to vote. And to me, to go and have that right, at least to own that right, and to feel like I was part of our nation, I came in.
How long ago did you enter the military, and what was your background? Did you go to?
I came in 6 years ago. I have my bachelor's in business. I actually came in because of my ex-wife. She was military. And I did my duty. I'm doing my duty in my service to the country.
Have you been to Iraq?
I have been deployed multiple times. I can't actually tell you where I've been deployed. But one of the things with that is you know, we all come into the military knowing what we get into. And one of the things that I tell people all of the time is my job is totally unlike any other job because I'm medical. And so regardless of who's in up above us telling us, you know, you go here, you go there, my main priority is to make sure that I save someone's life.
That is sure that I didn't hear the last part.
My main priority with my job is to save someone's life.
It's to save someone's life. Okay, I understand what you're saying. Well, Dave, we thank you for your service to the country, and I thank you for calling today. 349-1320. The question I want to also add to the discussion is, here are a lot of civilian workers who went over to Iraq. And they're coming back with combat trauma, and there are no programs for them as there is for the military. But I'm thinking I don't have, now maybe I'm being hard-hearted here, but they made a decision to go. Here's one guy who said, nobody ain't doing nothing for us. He went for 6 months. They made astronomical amounts of money over there because, first of all, there was no oversight, but secondly, it was dangerous. So if you could survive, you're willing to take that risk. Then you could make a ton of money going over to Iraq, but you come home, you're traumatized. So you have to wonder about the cost-to-benefit ratio. And they are complaining that they have come back traumatized. And here's one guy who was paid $2,000 a week. He was a truck driver. While he was there, far more than he'd been earning before the war, he says now, it wasn't worth it. He said he survived several roadside bombs, mortar and rocket attacks, countless small arms firefights. As he transported supplies for U.S. troops along Iraq's perilous roads, he returned from Iraq without physical injuries, but his war wounds are evident in the cocktail of prescription medications he takes for every day, for hostile behavior, for hallucinations, for depression, for insomnia, anxiety-related tics and spasms and hypertension, all symptoms, he said, he developed during his time in Iraq. Two doctors have independently diagnosed him with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, of course, a psychological ailment and the symptoms that typically include anxiety, loss of sleep, and flashbacks. The government has acknowledged that he is disabled, and he does receive a $1,224 a month Social Security check, but he says that his claim for treatment for PTSD was denied by the insurance company for Kellogg Brown Root, a division of Halliburton, on the grounds that there was not enough medical evidence of his trauma. So he's not getting any money for that. He's getting Social Security disability. He made almost $2,000 a month while he was there. $2,000 a week while he was there driving in Iraq. $2,000 a week, more than he was making here, and he says it wasn't worth it. Now he comes back with PTSD. He was an adult, and he decided to do this, and there was a risk. Is it our responsibility? Does that sound too cold? I don't know. My first response is he didn't have to do this. Nobody was for it. He went in there. He wanted to shovel some dough into his pocket, and good for him. But there was a real risk. And now he comes back, and he's got these flashbacks, and he's hallucinating, and he's anxious, and he's got tics, and he's got a lot of things. But, I don't know. Am I too mean here? I think it's his responsibility. 349-1320. Social Security has awarded him disability, but the insurance that was carried by Kellogg Brown Root, the subcontractor or the contractor, their insurance company, AIG, doesn't think that there's enough evidence to indicate that he actually is suffering from PTSD. What are your thoughts about this? What's our responsibility here for him? 349 and people like him. 349-1320-866. 626-1320. Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. It has just been foggy the last couple of days, especially in the morning and on in the afternoon. It's going to be the same way. Little sprinkles tomorrow. We're going to see highs though near 62. Tonight, lows right around 47. Enid Live will continue. We do have a traffic hazard there, southbound 99 right by Free Ridge Road. Otherwise, the traffic's looking pretty good. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
For a limited time.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. I want to remind you I'm going to be off starting Wednesday, but I'm back with you on Monday. So I'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You'll be in great hands with Air America Radio. But it means that we only have today and tomorrow to talk about the things that we need to talk about. And what we're talking about in this hour is Charlie Rangel trying to float the idea of reinstating the draft. And in today's Los Angeles Times, there's an op-ed piece by a conservative. And the headline of the piece is Bomb Iran. Diplomacy is doing nothing to stop the Iranian nuclear threat. A show of force is the only answer. Like who's going to do that? We don't have the troops to do that. Bomb Iran. Well, that's nice, Mr. Neocon. That's very nice. Thank you so much for that. And send other people's brothers and sisters and children in to do it. I'm not going to, you know, sully my manicure, says this Neocon, I'm sure. Gail in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I agree with you in support of the draft for the very same reasons that you voiced. If we are really at war, let's have everybody go. I don't think that they would follow through on it. I think...
Sacramento's Left Channel, streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. There will be no book signings, no late-night talk show appearances for O.J. Simpson. Today, News Corp, which owns both Fox Broadcasting and HarperCollins Publishing, canceled plans to release Simpson's book, If I Did It, and for him to appear on a Fox TV special. News Corp chairman Rupert Murdoch says he and senior management agree with the American public that this was an ill-considered project. Karen Holt is deputy editor at Publishers Weekly.
This is a really big embarrassment for News Corp, but it's an even bigger embarrassment for Judith Regan. I mean, she's always been known as being so powerful within that company that she's gotten away with anything she wants to get away with.
Regan is the editor who brought the book to fruition. She says she considers it O.J. Simpson's confession. Comedian Paul Rodriguez was at the Laugh Factory in West Hollywood Friday night when Michael Richards, who starred as Kramer on Seinfeld, hurled racial epithets at a black heckler in the audience.
Mr. Richards will no longer be accepted in this establishment because we do not back these ugly, hateful words.
Tonight, Richards appears on The Late Show with David Letterman telling his side.
I lost my temper on stage. I was at a comedy club trying to do my act, and I got heckled, and I took it badly and went into a
rage.
Richards insists he's not a racist and says he's deeply, deeply sorry. A school bus plunged off a highway overpass in Huntsville, Alabama today. Three teenage girls were killed, at least 30 people hurt. The bus had no seatbelts. The elderly man whose car plowed into a Los Angeles farmer's market, killing 10 people, has been sentenced to probation. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman covered the proceedings.
There were emotional words in the courtroom. Relatives of those killed talked about their loss.
There's no excuse for what Mr. Weller has done.
Defense attorney Mark Borenstein argued that sending George Weller to prison would not be good for anyone.
What societal purpose would be served by imposing what will amount to a death sentence?
The judge had harsh words for George Weller. He said the crimes deserve prison, but because of Weller's health, the judge gave him probation. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Criminal Courts Building in Los Angeles.
Weller is 90 years old and bedridden. Gasoline prices may have bottomed out around Election Day.
I'm Dan Revive in New York. It is largely supply and demand is higher, with tens of millions of Americans hitting the road this week for Thanksgiving visits. That appears the main reason for an increase in the price of gasoline, up 0.7 cents to an average of $2.24 for a gallon of regular. That's the national average from the Federal Government Energy Information Administration, $2.24.
The Dow slipped 26 points today, closing at 12,316, but the Nasdaq gained nearly 7 points. It finished the day at 24.52. The price of oil fell 17 cents to 58.80 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS. Leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking. And committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to philipmorrisusa.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit philipmorrisusa.com.
President Bush, who ended his Asia tour with a brief visit to Indonesia, said he's waiting to hear from a variety of sources before deciding whether to increase or decrease troop levels in Iraq. CBS News correspondent David Martin has details of one option on the table.
A team of military advisors has developed one option which includes a temporary troop buildup as prelude to the start of a withdrawal. A measure of the quandary the Bush administration faces, that was rejected just last week by the top military commander for Iraq.
I do not believe that more American troops right now is the solution to the problem.
General John Abizaid said putting in another 20,000 American troops would keep a tighter lid on the violence, but it would undermine the strategy of turning over the fighting to Iraqis.
Congressman Duncan Hunter, who chairs the House Armed Services Committee, says trained Iraqi units stationed in peaceful provinces should be sent to beef up security in Baghdad. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
And now, Enid Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Call Enid now at 349-1320.
Look at that, there you go, where you at, slow it down, baby. We should go crazy, nothing too easy, anything you want. Give it to you just how you like.
Uh-huh, 5:05, 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 3 of the pre-holiday, post-pre-Thanksgiving dinner edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. If you're just joining us, we've been a lot of places today, as usual. We've been talking about the fact that Fox, Rupert Murdoch has made the announcement that they're going to cancel Fox and HarperCollins and so on. Going to cancel the publication of OJ's If I Did It book and the couple of TV specials that he was going to be involved with, because there's been so much public outrage, and which advertisers would even advertise on a program like that. And it's being seen as a rebuke to Judith Regan, who is sort of a bottom feeder in the publishing industry, and had kept this whole deal under closed raps until just recently it leaked out, and she issues this long and windy justification in how this will heal everybody. And meanwhile, O.J. collects $3.5 million, well, through his children anyway, because if it came directly to him, I think it would go to satisfy that $33.5 million judgment, civil judgment, against him by the victim's family. So that's what we've been talking about. We've also been talking about Charlie Rangel. God bless him. He wants to reinstitute the draft. Nancy Pelosi says no. The Republicans say no. But we've been talking about it. And in today's Los Angeles Times, there is a headline of an op-ed piece by a conservative, Bomb Iran. The diplomacy is not working, and we've got to go in and bomb Iran. Oh, really? How are we going to do that? And when there's a draft, there's at least some discussion about going into situations like Iran. But anyway, this is what this conservative wants to do. I don't think he particularly wants to go. We've also been talking about civilian workers coming back from Iraq, suffering from serious combat trauma. They are one of them in particular here is on Social Security disability. He's been diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But the insurer for Kellogg Brown and Root dismisses him and says there's not enough evidence for it. He got paid a lot of money. A lot of people who went to Iraq to work, the way to lure them in was to pay them a lot of money. And now they're coming back with all these mental issues, combat trauma, that they think was not worth what they were being paid to endure it. And I'm wondering what our responsibility is. I mean, there's a part of me that says, hey, you made this decision and nobody forced you to do it. And guess what? There was a risk. So is this my problem? Is this our problem? Am I a bitch for thinking that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And I want to also discuss a case that I've been following with some interest. And this is in Los Angeles. This is a guy who's 89 years old. He's going to be 90 very soon. He's very ill, apparently. He's in ill health, or at least he portrays that he's in ill health. About 3 years ago, he's driving through the farmer's market in Santa Monica, steps on the gas, and he kills 10 people. He drove his car through Santa Monica Farmer's Market. He killed 10. He injured 63 people. Killed 10 and injured 63 people. This man was a human tragedy, really. And today he was sentenced. The judge had to deal with how you were going to sentence somebody who is 89 years old and not in great health. He's going to be 90 next month. He didn't attend the sentencing because apparently he was too ill to do so. The judge in the case made it clear that the man in question, a man named George Weller, deserved a harsh prison sentence after being convicted on 10 felony counts of vehicular manslaughter. But the judge also said that little would be served in sending a frail, elderly man to jail. And yet, we have an innate sense of fairness, all of us. And I think justice needs to be done. So if you were the judge, as you may have heard in the newscast, I'll tell you what the judge ruled. But if you were the judge, what would be the sentence for this 89-year-old man, 90-year-old man? Should he do some pokey time, no pokey time at all? That when you kill 10 people and injure 63 others, and he's never been to court, so one of the criticisms against him is that the victims and the families of the victims have never heard an apology. Now, everybody says we need an apology for closure, and guess what? You aren't going to have closure, and I don't care how many apologies you have. It's never going to bring those people back, and it won't return them to good health if they don't already have it. But if you were the judge in this case, the judge says, I will never understand this man's... Today, Mr. Weller, says the judge, stands convicted of 10 serious felonies, and he is asking for leniency in sentencing, said the judge. Yet, he has never once expressed in court any remorse for his actions. I will never understand his stubborn and bullheaded refusal to accept responsibility, to put this matter to rest for everyone, including himself, said the judge. George Weller clearly deserves a prison sentence. The devastation that he has caused and the indifference that he has displayed support no other conclusion. Now, we're assuming the man's in his right mind. I mean, you have people who are 89 years old, and maybe there's some dementia, maybe there's some Alzheimer's. I really don't know. But let's make the assumption he's in his right mind. The fact that he deserves prison does not mean he should get it, said one of the jurors. I believe the courts need to be practical as well as principled, and I don't see any purpose in sending Weller to jail or prison. It wouldn't do anybody any good. Well, in a way, that's true. I mean, it would cost us about, what, $35,000, $40,000 a year to incarcerate this geezer. And he's really not a risk as long as he doesn't drive. And if he's too sick to be anywhere and he's in bed, then that's it for him. But there has to be some kind of a punishment. And what would that punishment be? Is it a civil suit where whatever his assets are, the families of the victims collect? Is that what is the punishment? What is the practical punishment? Because the real punishment here is he was sentenced to probation. That's it. He's almost 90 years old. According to this account in the Los Angeles Times, he's bedridden. He has never, even if you're bedridden, you could issue, or if you have a smart attorney, your attorney will write it for you, some kind of an apology. But that has not happened in this case. I'm assuming that he is not mentally impaired, as he is physically impaired. But he is getting probation here. Is that the right punishment for this crime? 90, he's going to be 90 next month. And he's not attending the sentencing because he is too ill to do so. But he has never issued a statement. What are your thoughts about this? Killed 10, mowed down, injured 63. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Remember, you can email me, enid@kctc.com. And we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. If you've missed one of my shows, they are archived, whiterosesociety.org. One word, whiterosesociety.org. And if you were listening last week, Frank McCourt was in the studio with me, live in studio, and he was, the next night, he was a guest on Bernie Ward's show in San Francisco. So I like, isn't that nice? We scooped San Francisco. That's nice. And he was quite delightful on this show. All right, so 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The question is, what is the punishment that will fit the crime? That's my question. Susan in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I think he should lose all his possessions. I mean, nothing's going to bring those people back. But I do think there should be some type of compensation. And I'd also like to know when was last time his license was renewed and who renewed it.
Well, that's a good question. I don't really know how that happened and how he was allowed to drive.
There should be some type of compensatory, I can't even say that word right now, some kind of test, you know.
Should he have gone to prison?
No. I mean, just because it wouldn't serve, he wouldn't learn. I mean, prison is a punishment and rehabilitation and to learn your lesson, this and that, and what's he going to learn? He can't even say, I'm sorry.
Right. He can't say he's sorry.
I'm telling you, some of these, unfortunately, some of these convalescent hospitals are kind of like a prison, so maybe that's where he should be.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know where he is, whether he's at home or where he is. He's apparently frail, so it would mean that he would be getting the most expensive geriatric kind of treatment in prison, and there are a lot of sick people in prison. And the system is in meltdown, as we know. But you think, okay, so what we need to look at is attaching his assets in one way or another, and we need to look at how it was he was allowed to continue to drive. He was 86.
Yeah, I mean,
well, he might have been okay when he passed the test.
Well, he might have been.
Yeah, he might have.
But, you know, if you're at that age, maybe the law should be changed where you need to be tested more often.
Well, okay. I'm assuming that the state does something when you get up there in age and they require it in a more regular way. But I don't know. I know families can call the DMV and ask them to require a test or to pull, you know, to do something. And then the family's not the bad guy. But Susan, I thank you very much. These are good suggestions. What would be the correct punishment for George Weller? He's almost 90. He's never apologized. He's never issued a statement. He's now too frail to go to prison. They've given him probation. But what is the correct and appropriate punishment for this guy? Chad in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good evening. I'd like to take it on a different way here. Since they don't want to put him in jail, which I disagree with, how about some humiliation here?
Like what, Chad?
Okay. Have him wear a T-shirt every day saying, I was a stupid idiot. I murdered 10 people, and also put a billboard with his name and face on it. Say, look, don't be an idiot like me and kill 10 people.
Who's going to pay for these expensive billboard and get those T-shirts printed? And you know, he doesn't go anywhere, so who's going to see the T-shirt? He's 90 years old, and he's too frail to go anywhere.
Hey, that's his problem.
That's his problem. Chad, if I were you, could, Chad, darling, if I were you, I would rethink this one a little bit, but I thank you very much. 3 4 don't you love Enid Live? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Linda and Sac, I are live with Enid. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
What's the appropriate punishment for this guy?
I hate to say it. The death penalty.
The death penalty. He's already facing the death. By the time he exercises his appeals, he's already going to be dead.
I don't care that he's in jail. I don't. You know, I find it to be really reprehensible that just because the guy is an old fart, that he doesn't get punished.
Well, he's an old and frail fart, and he's completely remorseless.
I don't care if someone is remorseful, remorseless. I remember when that happened. I was in absolute shock. And I'm sorry that you don't have more information, because I would love to hear what his side of the story was.
He's apparently never tendered his side of the story.
Yeah, that's it. Did he pass out? What happened? What did he do? Did he do it on purpose? And if he did it on purpose, I certainly want him punished. I don't care how old he is. I really, really don't care. I don't care that he's frail. He ruined the lives of so many people.
Well, here's what we do know. You're actually asking some really good questions. He plowed his 1992 Buick through the Santa Monica Farmers Market, and I have been to that Farmers Market. The toll from the 22nd Drive was the largest number of pedestrian fatalities from a traffic accident in California history. So how this geezer managed to mow down that many people in just 20 seconds is amazing. He was present for just 2 hours of his trial, and he did not attend his sentencing. His doctor said he suffered a seizure last month and has lost memory, sensation in his feet and hands, and some bodily functions. His absence is not fair and just unless he has a serious medical problem, said a deputy attorney general and director of the state office of victim services. With Mr. Weller absent, we are depriving family members of a chance to speak their minds and address him. I don't know. If he were sent to prison, he would not have been the state's oldest inmate. The eldest is 93 years old. they could go drinking together, those two. And I don't really know what happened. I don't have the information as to what happened to cause the accident, whether the gas pedal stuck, whether he confused the gas pedal with the brake, whether he had a seizure of some sort. I really don't know what happened. But there's been no apology.
Well, if the guy has completely, in other words, if he had a stroke, when they say a seizure, did he have a stroke? Okay, that he's now not functioning? Is that what happened?
That's what's happened recently, but I don't know what happened to cause the accident.
Hmm. Well, I'm sorry that we don't have more information.
Yeah, I'm sorry we don't, too. We'll look around and see if we can get some more information and find out what his defense was. Thanks very much, Linda, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, John in Elk Grove. Hi, John.
Hi there. Well, basically, you know, I think, if this gentleman is like my father, that passed 80-something, and if I knew that he had some kind of depressed condition, I would never let him drive. And I'll tell you one thing is, I think that, you know, the punishing is not for him. It's for whoever allowed him to drive, the family relative, you know, or even the insurance company that insured his car. We need to punish those people that are willing to allow someone like that to drive. And I think, you know, maybe there should be a legislation passed that for elderly that was, driving, the family member should be responsible. I have feelings.
Oh, now that's very interesting. So you make, and when I use the word geezers, I do it with a certain, we're all, if we're lucky, we're all going to be geezers, and we love our geezers. But this guy was really, I don't know all the details of the situation, but I think your idea about the family members being responsible is a pretty good one. As a practical matter, they are, in the sense that if something happens and the parent can be sued, whatever you were hoping to inherit is going to go down the tubes. So in some ways, that already exists more informally.
Yeah, because, you know, particularly anybody that was elderly, it's just like I'm taking care of my mom, is that it's basically when they become elderly, they become like your minor. It becomes like the baby again. And then, you know, if they committed something, you know, you're responsible to, you know, to oversee that.
Right.
And then, you know, so if this is like my elderly father, you know, I would took away his key, you know, when he turned 80.
Well, if you thought that he couldn't drive, yeah.
Well, then, you know, I would take up the responsibility to take him everywhere. And that's how I've been, you know, raised. And basically that's how I've been raised, to take care of elderly parents when they get old. And so, you know, if they committed something like that, I'm pretty sure that whoever this person's, you know, son or daughter, feel real guilty right now.
Well, I would think you're right. And thanks very much, John. Some good points. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Wendy in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Enid. I was thinking that prison may not be an ideal situation, just because I don't think he's going to be a threat to society being bedridden. And as far as punishment or having to in some way make amends, why can't they require that he meet with each of the victims' families and talk to him and be able to express what losses they felt in their lives and hopefully get an apology?
Well, he's, for whatever reasons, whether there's an emotional or a mental situation with him or whatever, he's issued no statements. And I do have additional information. His defense attorneys argued that he was a victim of pedal error, in which he panicked and mistook the car's accelerator for the brake. Prosecutors, however, said that he was careless to the point of criminal negligence. Mm-hmm. But to mow down that many people in 20 seconds, that is just amazing. The damage he did, yeah. The damage he did, and he skates home free, unless there is an afterlife, and unless there is a God, and unless there is a hell instead of a heaven, and, you know, his ticket gets punched.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But at least give the families a chance to confront him.
Well, that would be good. I don't know if it's going to happen, and I think John makes excellent points. What about his family? Why'd they continue to let him drive? And what is their responsibility in this?
That's right.
Yeah, I think
people aren't taking responsibility for the elderly in this society.
No, they like to dump them off.
They don't look after them, and they don't take responsibility for things, and they don't make sure that they're not getting in dangerous situations.
I think you're quite right about that. I thank you for calling, Wendy. 349-1320-866-626-1320. So we have a guy. He's 89 years old. He's going to be 90 next month. He mowed down, killed 10 and injured 63 in 20 seconds at a farmer's market in Santa Monica. You probably heard all about it when it happened. It was such an enormous, horrible thing that occurred. And now the judge faced with the difficult dilemma of what to do and how to sentence a almost 90-year-old who's frail. And he has sentenced him to probation. And to me, that's not the right sentence. Maybe they're going to go after his assets, and it may be that he doesn't have much in the way of assets. I mean, he was driving what euphemistically used to be called a late model car when this happened a few years ago. So he may not have much in the way of assets. I don't know. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, our traffic is getting a little thick out there. Northbound 99 just by Elk Grove Boulevard coming back that way, and Cap City Freeway northbound just past Arden Way. We have a three-car crash there as well. Madison Avenue and Hemlock, two-car crash. And I-5 and J Street, we have a three-car crash. It looks like a big rig is involved. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's Enid Live, doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Enid Gold.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
play perfectly.
I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The next...
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Forming to the left, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
6:30 is the time, and you are listening to Hour 3 of the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock and tomorrow as well, and I'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So everything we have to say to each other, we just have today and tomorrow to do it, and I'll be back with you on Monday, and you'll be in good hands with 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel Air America programming. We're talking about this man in Santa Monica who, in 20 seconds, managed to create the most damage that anybody has done in the state of California. In 20 seconds, he killed 10 people and injured 63 others. His attorneys have argued that he suffered from pedal error, in which he panicked and mistook the car's accelerator for a brake. He was then about 86 years old. He was driving a 1991-92 vehicle, and he just mowed down people in the Santa Monica Farmers Market. And they close it off. It becomes like a pedestrian area. So I don't know what he did, whether he crashed through barricades or what he did to do that. And now the judge has to sentence him. The man is George Weller. He's 89. He's going to be 90 years old next month. His attorneys say he suffered from seizures, that he can't walk, that he's too frail even to appear in court. The families of the victims are upset that the man has never issued any kind of a statement or an apology. Some of you have called in with really good questions, like where was his family? Why do they still allow him to drive? What is their responsibility in all of this? Will there be a civil suit in which his assets are attached? Lots of questions that we don't know the answers to. But what do you think would be a fair punishment for somebody who's too frail to go? He's now been sentenced to probation. 349-1320-866-626-1320. John in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Enid. What I think we should do is he should get a sentence commensurate with the crime and go to prison so that hopefully he dies without the comfort of his friends and family, just like the 10 people he murdered. And the other thing about that is that...
Now, it's going to cost us... He's already sort of in prison because he's in bed, I assume, and he's already... it's going to cost us a fortune, like $50,000 a year probably, because he's so geriatric and in need of services. But okay, go ahead.
But if you think about it, if he'd done this at 45 or 50 instead of 89,
they'd have thrown him right into
those expenses.
Yeah, they would have thrown him right into the pokey.
Exactly. So, and hopefully, if he dies in prison, it's like I said, without his friends and family, just like those poor 10 people that he killed.
Okay, so you think that's the appropriate punishment?
Yes.
You wheel this guy off. Think of the TV coverage now. You wheel this guy off in a hospital bed to the pokey.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's already had a seizure, so presumably, I'm assuming he's not necessarily functioning in a great mental state.
Well, but, you know, again, if they'd done it at 50, he'd already be in prison, and we'd still assume those costs. And if he's 89, he's probably already, his care is probably already paid for the state under Medicare or what have you. So paying the cost one way or the other, let's at least give the family some closure.
So do you think that this would give the family closure?
Well,
I don't know if you ever have. Do you ever, huh?
I don't. It would depend on the families, I suppose. But you know, I don't see that we should treat him necessarily different, considering he's already probably being paid for by the state.
Well, I think that the sentence of probation struck me as not appropriate. I don't know why. I don't know what maybe there weren't that many choices. It's either prison or probation, and
yeah.
And you can't sentence him to community service because he can't function.
True.
So the judge sentences him to probation. And you say haul that man off to the pokey.
Yeah, give him his 10 life sentences, just like he was 40.
Okay, all right, John. Let's see how people respond to what you said. Thanks very much. 349-1320, Kevin in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What do we do with George Weller? We haul him off to the pokey or what?
Well, I think in our society now, we're so quick to judge. I mean, everybody's situation is different. Like you said, The man he was 86 years old. We don't know if the guy had dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever. Well, what I really think should happen is this, that whoever was his kids or guardians, whoever was helping him as far as take care of him, should pretty much be punished for that. You know, because...
And maybe the kids were nowhere around. Maybe he was living on his own, and he was coping the best way he could.
Well, and that's true, too. And if he was on his own, okay, then was his driver's license, was it valid? Was he driving on suspended license? You know, if that's the case, then that right there is on us.
Well, here's what the judge did say. The judge really reprimanded him, even though he wasn't in court to hear it. The guy has never issued any kind of an apology, any kind of he's shown no remorse whatsoever to the family of the victims, which is amazing because you would think that his attorney would have said, do that. You will mitigate your own, you know, you will do yourself some good if you sound like you're sorry, even if you're not remotely sorry.
Right, and I agree with that, and I do think they should be rewarded for it. But at the same time, though, but is he in a mental state to be there?
Even if he's not, don't you think his family and the attorney could have drafted some kind of a statement?
Well, that's another reason. Yes, you're right. The attorney should have drafted something like that. So, but my whole point is saying this. You know, I mean, in our society, you know, we kind of neglect the elderly. You know, my grandfather. He passed away with Alzheimer's, and he almost had a similar situation. He didn't kill anybody, but he was driving, and that's when the Alzheimer's hit, and he was lost.
Mm.
You know, and he could did the same thing. You know, so you know we shouldn't be so quick to judge on his intent. We more or less look at the whole picture.
Okay, Kevin. I thank you very much for calling. 349-1320 Dave in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You know, I'm not trying to take any responsibility of this incident away from the guy who was driving, but when you reach that age, I think part of the responsibility lies on the state to evaluate these people on a more frequent basis. If he wasn't driving on a suspended license, or he was still issued a license, and he was,
well, there are a lot of really vibrant 85-year-olds, or even a lot of vibrant 90 and 95-year-olds. Not everybody is impaired.
I'm not suggesting that everybody at that age is impaired, but what I am suggesting is that once you reach a certain age, maybe they shouldn't be issuing 5-year driver's licenses to these people, or just letting them, you know, renew their license. Maybe they should be come in and be evaluated every year to make sure that they're still fit to drive.
Well, I'll play devil's advocate. Let's say that happens. Past a certain age, you have to come in every year. You know, when you're at that age, things can happen very quickly. So you come in, you pass, and then a month later, you have a seizure, and you're a changed person.
Okay. So. When situations like that happen and an accident occurs, it's your doctor's responsibility to report it to the DMV that you have a condition that will impair your driving.
Well, it is. I think that's already the law. If you've had a seizure, if you fainted, I think the doctor's got to report it by law. Thank you, Dave, for the call. 349-1320 TJ in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, TJ.
How you doing?
Good.
I think in regards to the gentleman with the gun in Santa Monica, obviously age does play a factor. I think if this was the other way around, and it was, say, a 15 or a 16-year-old kid, or if it was a minor who did the situation, they would obviously look at age as a factor in his sentencing. So I think maybe if, you know, obviously nobody, I don't want to see the guy in death row. I don't think that putting him in jail is going to solve the issue because he did something wrong, but is jail the correct solution? No, that's not the correct solution.
Well, he would probably die in 5 minutes if he went to jail. And it's very possible, that the reason that the judge sentenced him to probation is that his doctors have said he's, you know, he's in the checkout line as it is.
Mm-hmm. And I think that should be taken into account. Leave him under house arrest possibly for the duration of his life, because it doesn't seem his life is going to be very long either way, in jail or out of jail.
Right.
Maybe leave him for house arrest for the duration of his life and keep some conditions. If you were to leave, you must check in. Obviously, with probation, there are very strict conditions.
Well, he can't even check in with his probation officer,
yeah.
I don't think. I don't even know if he's able to speak. But I think there's probably the possibility he's got any assets at all of some sort of a civil lawsuit, I would guess.
I would hope there is, because up to now, like you said, if he showed no remorse to the family members of the deceased, they do deserve an apology. They do deserve something.
Well, those family, yeah, you would think it, but those family members might be scurrying around to protect the assets, because if he conks out, whatever inheritance they were hoping to get. Yeah, it would be out the window. So you could, I'll bet you they've been burying those assets left and right. TJ, thanks for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, our traffic southbound 99 at Elk Grove Boulevard. It looks like we have a three-car crash that is slowing traffic down. There's an emergency vehicle on the right-hand side stopping traffic. Northbound 99 just south of Elsie Avenue. Also westbound I-80 just west of Winter Street. A three-car crash. No injuries, but emergency vehicles are on scene and blocking traffic. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now... I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7. and tomorrow as well, and then I'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'll be back with you on Monday. You will be in good hands with Air America Radio. We've been talking about George Weller in Santa Monica. In 20 seconds, he managed to mow down, kill 10 people and injure 63 others when he was 86 years old. He's now, will be 90 next month. And the judge was deciding on how to sentence him. Had he been a younger man, the judge would have sentenced him to prison, but now it's pointless. So he sentenced him to probation. And he also chastised him for never issuing any kind of an apology. Apparently he's had a seizure, and maybe the point of apology, he's not able to do it anymore, but he didn't do it when he could have done it. I'm getting a CBS heads up that Michael Richards says that he is, this is a CBS radio news alert, Michael Richards, who played Kramer on Seinfeld, says that he's sorry for using racist language when he responded to an African-American heckler during an appearance at a Los Angeles comedy club. Did you hear about this? It's all over the internet and every place. So as a result, he's going to be on late show with David Letterman tonight. He said to Letterman, "I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I'm not a racist." Well, what happened was he was in a comedy club. He got heckled by somebody who was African American, and he went off on him and used the N-word and so on. And let me give you sort of the inside. Nikki Fink is good in Los Angeles for this inside stuff, and so here's what she had to say. She said, "I'm told that arrangements were made by none other than Jerry Seinfeld himself for Michael Richards, a.k.a. Kramer, to go on Letterman tonight by remote satellite feed. Kramer made a major apology on Dave's Late Show, which had Seinfeld scheduled as a guest already. Richards' appearance during Seinfeld's interview was treated as a surprise. Kramer, quote, apologized and expressed remorse at his own behavior. He seemed genuinely upset and embarrassed," said a source at the taping. "In my opinion," writes Nikki Fink, who is a big entertainment reporter in Los Angeles, she said the real news behind Seinfeld's Michael Richards spewing the N-word racial epithets after being heckled during his Friday night stand-up routine at the Laugh Factory is this. And this I think she's right about. Listen to what she has to say. She says, "Many of today's comedy clubs have become a cesspool of hatred. Inside them, racist, ethnic prejudice, homophobia, and sexism all masquerade as humor." I'm going to give you that again. And you know, I'll tell you what is the biggest masquerader of humor in a lot of these comedy clubs. The F-bomb. It's not like nobody's heard this word, and it's used as a cadence, you know, every 2 seconds. And everybody laughs, like, why is this funny? I don't get it. So she says these clubs, many of today's comedy clubs, have become a cesspool of hatred. Inside them, racism, ethnic prejudice, homophobia, and sexism all masquerade as humor. Anyone who's been to the clubs and heard the acts knows this to be true. Yet, in most cases, the audience or the club owners, managers rarely react badly. And not just in the clubs. MTV's Yo Mama celebrates jokes about how Yo Mama is so fat, so stupid, so poor, so ugly, so nasty, so lazy, and whatever other disgusting stuff its contestants can think up. I'm not saying humor in the club should be sanitized as sanitized as a stand-up pablum on Leno or Letterman or Kimmel, though it is a fact that because of the ubiquitousness of profanity-peppered acts with distasteful subject matter, some clubs outside L.A. and New York are rating their shows G, PG, and R as a marketing tool. There's also Christian comedy, she writes, but let's not go there. Still, in the top clubs, an atmosphere exists where anything goes, so no one should feign surprise that these comedians, much less a network character actor like Richards, which I don't think this helps his career much, could cross the line between what's acceptable and offensive. Jerry Seinfeld has announced that he's, quote, sick over this. When it comes to the comedy clubs, too many of them are just sick, period. Heal thyself. What are your thoughts about what Nikki Fink is writing? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Kramer, Michael Richards, the actor, the comedian, goes off on an African-American heckler and sounds awfully racist and uses the N-word and does a despicable thing and then says, "I'm not a racist." And maybe he doesn't think of himself as a racist, but it certainly sounds like he was when he was under pressure. And in comedy clubs, almost anything goes. It's kind of a cesspool of hatred, masquerading as humor. So what are your thoughts about this? And now he's going to save his career by going on Letterman tonight and apologizing. According to a source at the taping, he apologized, expressed remorse at his own behavior, which is more than George Weller did. And he seemed genuinely upset and embarrassed. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. We've been talking about crime and punishment. What's the punishment for this crime? How great a crime is it? I think it's a crime. What's the punishment for it? You just don't go to, you know, you don't go to hear him at a comedy club because he's not funny? Apparently he was bombing and he was being heckled. I don't know. Or the punishment is that maybe African-Americans decide that they don't want to see him on TV and they organize some kind of a protest. I don't know. What are your thoughts about it? 349-1320. And how can we not talk about this story? There is a list. There is a list of the top 10 smelly celebrities, and I don't know if Kramer should be on this list, but I guess it's an actual list. A friend told me about an off-the-record list of celebrities with unpleasant body odor, where Brad Pitt is supposedly featured at number 3. Don't think about this in front of your Thanksgiving meal. But somebody moved him up to number 1, so here is a list of the top 10 smelly celebrities. Number 1, Brad Pitt. Number 2, Russell Crowe. Number 3, Hayden Christensen. Number 4, David Bowie. Number 5, Courtney Cox. Number 6, Robin Williams. Oh, no, I'm so sorry to hear that. Number 7, Christina Aguilera, or Aguilera, I guess you're supposed to say. Number 8, Cameron Diaz. Number 9, Metallica. And number 10, smelliest celebrity, Bob Dylan. Well, I bring this up because a court in Germany has rejected a man's compensation claim against an airliner after a cabin crew ordered him off a plane because other passengers were offended by a smell. This was a British Airways plane, and the court upheld the ruling that British Airways had acted, had done okay by removing the man from the aircraft after a female passenger sitting next to him complained about his smell. The stewardess took him to one side and asked him if he could put on a fresh shirt, but they were all in the hold. So then he was asked to leave the plane about 2 minutes before takeoff. The other passengers were also upset by the smell, which must have been pretty gamey. The guy was a corporate lawyer. Oh, well, that explains it right there. He's a corporate lawyer, and he and his wife were scheduled to return home from Hawaii via Los Angeles on a British Airways flight. And they missed their connection to Germany when the incident forced them to take the next one, including the cost of staying an extra night in Los Angeles, the earnings he had, listen to this, spoken like a true lawyer, the earnings he had forfeited, and his wife's lost holiday day. The man calculated that British Airways owed him almost $3,000 and took his case to a lower court in Dusseldorf. The man said he could not help sweating after carrying 3 suitcases in 29 degrees Celsius of heat and sitting for 2 hours with no air conditioning, said the court spokesman. But the court said that the airline's terms and conditions made it clear that they could bar passengers because of their smell. Let me tell you something. You are in such a cootie condition anyway in most airplanes. They don't clean them like they're supposed to. They're always trying to cut costs. You don't get enough oxygen. Don't ever even think about drinking the water because there are things in there that are, you don't even want to think about what, E. coli, maggots, all kinds of stuff in the water, in the, not the bottled water, but they don't always, sometimes when they run out of bottled water, they take it out of the taps, and that is absolutely the water you do not want to drink on an airplane. So you're lucky you get off of there with your life intact. And then somebody who weighs 5,000 pounds and smells worse than a garbage dump sits next to you, and you are flying for the next 10 hours. I ask you, and I rest my case, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I mean, a gold Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday pre-holiday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slowbound traffic, eastbound 50 westbound, just west of 59th Street. Eastbound 50 just west of 34th Street, we have a two-car crash. Jackson Road just west of Bradshaw Road. There's a three-car crash in southbound 99 at Elk Grove Boulevard. A three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Right now, what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Morning Retort.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mind, America.
Now,
349-1320. Yeah.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
Streaming live at 1320
CBS News. I'm Bill Whitney.
I don't think any two people could be murdered without everybody being covered in blood.
Blasted from all quarters, the very embarrassed executives responsible for O.J. Simpson's If I Did It have abruptly canceled the project. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Fox has changed its mind and won't put on the air the two-part TV interview with O.J. Simpson, and a publishing company owned by News Corporation, same company that runs Fox, has decided not to publish Simpson's book. That's a little odd because bookstores expect to start selling the book next week.
Some copies have already been shipped. The publisher says they'll be recalled and all copies will be destroyed. But the sister of murder victim Ron Goldman says a version of the book has already been leaked out, and she claims Simpson has already gotten a check for $3.5 million. He played Kramer for 9 seasons on Seinfeld, but Michael Richards was really weird Friday night when he got into it with a heckler at a West Hollywood comedy club.
Oh, roll call for it.
Wait a minute, he's not going here.
You're not following your reset. Never had no show, never had no movie. Seinfeld's not here.
Hold on there. You're absolutely right. I'm just a wash-up.
Then Richards started hurling racist insults at the man who's black. He used the N-word repeatedly. Tonight, taping an appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman, Richards offered no excuse for going into a rage.
For me to be in a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, you know, I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Jerry Seinfeld encouraged Richards to appear, saying he knows how shattered he is about what happened. 3 teenage girls were killed, at least 30 people injured, when a school bus plunged off a highway overpass in Huntsville, Alabama. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman has details.
The bus of high schoolers was on a morning outing to a technical center. Students on board said seconds before the crash, a compact car had cut off the bus. The bus driver swerved trying to avoid it, but the bus slammed into the guardrail, sat suspended for a few seconds, and nosedived off the elevated freeway.
It fell 30 feet.
Bam, 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 but it sounded like a... When it first hit, it just sounded like a bomb went off.
Molly Hawkins works nearby. The bus had no seatbelts. First responders say they found the victims thrown all over the bus. Some of the injured are in critical condition. George Weller was 86 when his car plowed into a busy farmer's market in Los Angeles, killing 10 people. Now nearly 90 and in poor health, he's been sentenced to probation, even though Judge Michael Johnson says he showed enormous indifference to human life.
When I look at all of these factors, I'm convinced that Mr. Weller deserves to go to prison. But the fact that he deserves prison doesn't mean that he should get it.
Victims' families complain that he's never expressed remorse. On Wall Street today, a bit of a pullback. The Dow Industrial's down 26 points to 12,316. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, CRN Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Health experts say marathon runners should start wearing hats, big, broad-brimmed hats. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
Doctors tell you to avoid skin cancer, stay out of the sun. Easier said than done for marathon runners who train and race outdoors for long periods of time. Now in a study in the Archives of Dermatology, Austrian researchers find that marathoners may have a higher skin cancer risk because they develop atypical moles and lesions and because their endurance exercise may suppress their immune systems. This study advises run in low sun exposure if you can, wear adequate clothing, use water-resistant sunscreens.
American Michael Phelps and Australian Ian Thorpe are the international stars of swimming, but now Phelps stands alone. Thorpe just announced that at the age of 24, he's decided to quit competitive swimming. The 5-time Olympic champion has been plagued by illness, injury, and loss of motivation. He hasn't participated in a major event since the Summer Games in Athens. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
And now, Eat It Live continues on AM 1320, Sacramento's Laugh Channel.
5 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to hour four of the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until seven. This is the pre-holiday. This is a run-up to our favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. And I'll share more about Thanksgiving with you tomorrow, I hope, if I remember. But we've had a lot of stuff to talk about today. We started out with OJ and that project being dropped, and we went into the draft being reinstated, which is what Charlie Rangel wants to do, and the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, and the Republicans don't want the draft reinstated. We're talking about Crime and Punishment, George Weller, who at the age of 86, he's now almost 90, mowed down. Well, he killed 10 people and injured 63 at the Santa Monica Farmers Market. Was sentenced today, probation on all counts. The appropriate punishment for the crime. He's frail. He's 90. The judge is chastised him for never issuing any kind of statement indicating remorse. The families had indicated that would help them to heal, and Weller never did. And whether he's in a position now even to speak or think, I don't even know. But we were talking about the appropriate punishment for somebody in that situation, and also the appropriate punishment for Kramer on Seinfeld, who's going to be on Letterman tonight, apologizing for making a lot of racial statements in a comedy club where anything goes, and he says he's not a racist. This could really hurt his career, and it's also not a nice thing to do. But people think they're not something, here's what I've always told my friends, my girlfriends, when they're going out with a guy. Forget what they say. Turn down the sound and watch what they do. It's not what you say. It's what you do. 349-1320-866-620-6120. As we move into the season of gluttony and excess, food banks have less to work with, and they are struggling to meet holiday demands. The donations of U.S. surplus food and of private cash are both down. So the nation's food banks are scrambling to serve a growing demand for help during the holidays at a time when government food donations and private cash contributions have fallen. More people are asking for food, even as the amount of government commodities available, and that would be milk, cheese, canned goods, and other staples, is down 55% from 2005, from last year, down 55%, and this is according to the USDA. A second USDA program of emergency food aid has stayed about the same. Together, they supply about one-fourth of what food banks give away. Remember now, we're giving tax breaks to the richest Americans, and here are people. We're down 55% from last year over the amount of government commodities available for food banks. The USDA buys fewer commodities when it has less need to boost farm prices. It gives 80% of purchases to America's Second Harvest, a network of more than 200 food banks. The loss of USDA commodities is huge, said someone from the San Francisco Food Bank. He says this group is increasing visits to stores to pick up food with sell-by dates about to expire. Also, he says, the Bay Area's cost of living is forcing more low-income workers to seek help. He's managed to increase his holiday distribution 35% this year, but says that remains far short of the need. High rents have increased demands in Hawaii, doubling in some area. Demand is up 34% from 2 years ago in the Dallas area. And up 39% from 5 years ago in Washington, D.C. in the suburbs. We have a lot of empty racks in our warehouse. Now, I think this is bad. And remember, we don't have, what do we have, food insecurity? We don't have hunger anymore. We have food insecurity. Isn't that the way the government has handled this problem? So if you are lucky enough not to have to think about being hungry, if you are among the many who are obese and trying to lose weight and have a job and you are able to contribute, the least you can do is go and buy some food and donate it to the food bank, or better yet, send them a check so that they can get what they need. 349-1320-866-626-1320. And any food bank drive you see, contribute to it. Contribute the food, the canned goods, and so on. Also, contribute a check. I asked you to do that for the political season, but I think it's awfully important to, especially this time of year, and food banks are suffering, to not watch people go hungry. I mean, this is really awful that we're so rich and people are worried about having enough to eat. So let me encourage you to do that. Schwartzy, oh my goodness, he's back in the news again. Besides practicing bipartisanship, which is what he's going to be giving lectures on and taking it on the road to Iowa and to New Hampshire. Well, what does that have to do with being governor of California? Oh, maybe it's next job. He's lining it up already. He's giving, according to News 10, outgoing members of the Schwartz administration have been appointed to prize state positions, some the governor had once called wasteful.
The findings show that nearly half of the governor's staff left or were dismissed following last year's failed special election. 40 former staffers were appointed or transferred to other state positions. At least half of those former staffers got raises with their new positions, including 11 who were given jobs with state salaries of over $100,000 a year. Among the positions filled with former Schwartzy staffers were board and commission appointments Schwartzy had once recommended be eliminated. Schwartzy vowed to get rid of 88 boards and commissions as part of his pledge to shrink state government in 2004, but last year Schwartzy grappled with his failed special election ballot measures. He backed off on his proposal to disband those boards and commissions. Among those appointed to boards and commissions was Margot Reed Brown, Schwartzy's former scheduler, who was named to a almost $118,000 a year post to the state's Integrated Waste Management Board. She had no prior waste management experience. No one paid by the state should make over $100,000 a year for only meeting twice a month, Schwartzy said during his 2005 State of the State address. But however, he is appointing people left and right to these positions. A spokesman for California Common Cause said that while Schwartzy promised to clean up the bureaucracy, a comparison of the rhetoric to the reality is disappointing. Well, why are we not shocked? How shocked? Absolutely shocked. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And the Los Angeles Times is reporting that Schwartzy is giving special access to private donors supporting his January 5 inauguration. I'm waiting. I'm not going to breathe until my invitation comes in the mail or by fax or by email. I'm waiting for that invitation to get here. After the turbulent recall, Schwartzy held a monumental swearing-in ceremony on the west steps of the Capitol, complete with a presidential-sized media platform and celebrity guests. Now, the event has been moved indoors to the Gilded Memorial Auditorium, where Schwartzy held his first press conference after being sworn in 3 years ago. More parties are planned as well. The governor's 2007 inaugural committee, quote, a California nonprofit corporation, is selling access to 2 days of events, and the donations are not tax deductible. For $50,000, here's what you can get in the, this is like a, you know what this sounds like? It sounds like a Duke Cunningham bribe memo, doesn't it? Okay, a little hot water for my throat. For $50,000, here's what you can get. You get, the financial supporters receive 10 tickets. So 10 tickets. It's $500 a ticket. Isn't it? Am I got that right? No. 10 times. No, it's $5,000 a ticket. Oh, my goodness. My math is off. All right. Is that right? Those of you who are math geniuses. For $50,000, you get 10 tickets to a January 4 cocktail reception. 4 VIP seats at the ceremony, plus 6 additional seats in the general admission section, which is the where the rabble apparently are seated. A table for 10 people at 1 p.m. legislative lunch in the Capitol Rotunda after the ceremony, and 10 tickets to an evening gala in the ballroom of the Sacramento Convention Center. Judy Sutherland, who is a spokeswoman for the inaugural committee, said the names of donors will be publicly disclosed, and the events, including the swearing-in ceremony, will be covered by contributions instead of the public coffer. There will be no cost to the taxpayer. So you, for $5,000 a ticket, this is what you get. What you get is access. Then there's a silver sponsor, and that's $15,000, and you get 2 tickets to the sponsor's reception, and you get 2 reserved seating tickets to the inaugural, and 2 tickets to the legislative lunch, and 2 reserved tickets to the California celebration, and you get a program, and you get program recognition. So you get your name in the program that you gave all this money. Does this have an odor about it, do you think? 349-1320, I think it does. I think it has a bad odor about it. Of course, he's got this nonprofit, and the money's going into that nonprofit. We're used to stage these elaborate signing ceremonies during the campaign. Well, now that the campaign is over, postmortems of the campaign are appearing. And they talk about what really went on and what was going on with the Phil campaign, which now some of you I know are mad at me still about the Phil campaign. I was trying to kickstart his engine. It turns out that it took him 3 years, that it took Phil 3 years to raise almost $30 million for his bid for governor. And he wound up having to spend it all on the bruising primary with Steve Wesley. So if you don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think you have Wesley to blame for it, because Wesley had an unlimited checkbook. And even though his mother works on an assembly line, he pumped about $34-35 million bucks of his own money into that campaign, which only weakened Phil. So Phil comes out of a campaign. You know, I think Phil is fine looking. And I don't think Arnie is all that good looking. He's all Botoxed up, and his head looks like it's been dipped into a vat of Tang. And, you know, he's shorter than advertised, and he wears lifts. And, you know, the hair and makeup are not exactly a color found in nature. But that aside, and he looks odd. His body looks odd in a suit. And you would think a guy as rich as he is would have better tailoring on his suits, but his suits don't look like they fit him right. Anyway, so Phil comes out of the bruising primary with no money. And now he's got to scratch around to get money. And beyond that, he also was running his own campaign, and that was not a good thing. It's like having yourself as a client if you are an attorney. So there are a lot of postmortems from the from Schwartz's campaign people, and they sat around in a round table discussing it. And when you read what they had to go through, it's kind of interesting how they have decided they were going to run the campaign and what things happened and what things didn't happen. Schwartz's people said that they never took Phil, that they never wrote him off, that they always took him seriously as a campaigner. And they sort of said that they thought he did better in the debate than Schwartz did. Schwartz looked like he was sweating up a storm. It was so bad that the rivulets of makeup were running on his face. Did you notice that? And he wore that odd green tie. I'm seeing a lot of men on television wearing those odd green ties now. I don't know. Is that a style statement or what? They look like that shade of green looks like it could induce nausea. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So those are some of the things that have come out of the... But you can go to the SACB website, and they have a 2006 California election roundtable, and you can read all about it. It's about, 14 pages or so of conversation about what people did and didn't do in the election. And it's kind of intriguing because it's a behind-the-scenes look at how the election was conducted. Arianna Huffington, whom I used to refer to as Arianna Nuffington, when her husband was trying to unseat Dianne Feinstein and almost did it, put all that big oil money behind his campaign. Rollins, what was his first name? I'll think of it. Republican campaign consultant called Arianna Sir Edmund Hillary of social climbers, and he said that nobody ever saw the then husband Michael speak while Arianna was drinking a glass of water. So she pretty much ran the show, but she's got the website HuffingtonPost.com. She's pretty ambitious and she's pretty aggressive. But she does have some interesting things to say, and I do like the website. And she's talking about Nancy Pelosi. And I want to talk to you about that for a minute, because Nancy Pelosi is now under the gun with having supported Murtha for the number two in the House and being whipped, and Steny Hoyer, who she has known since the 60s. I think they worked together on somebody's staff at that time, but she didn't support him. She supported Murtha. And now everybody's saying she's weakened because she supported somebody who lost. Here's what Arianna has to say about this. Nancy Pelosi endorses as majority leader the member of the House most identified with speaking out against the war, a man whose courage in doing so fueled the nationalized campaign that gave Democrats the majority in the first place. I'm speaking, Arianna writes, of course, about Jack Murtha. Murtha then loses the leadership race to Steny Hoyer. As Pelosi no doubt knew, it was an uphill battle from the beginning. Hoyer had been tirelessly campaigning for the job among Democratic caucus members for months, and he won by quite a lot, so surely somebody was counting the votes there somewhere. But Pelosi gave her support to Murtha because, as she put it, bringing the war to an end is my highest priority as Speaker. It doesn't get much clearer or more principled than that, writes Arianna. So what has been the reaction of the media? According to the LA Times, Pelosi is off to, quote, a rocky start, while the New York Times says she's, quote, tempting disaster. disaster. If wanting to give a high-profile platform to a man most responsible for his party finally locating its spine regarding Iraq and who for his troubles received the full brunt of the Bush, Rove, Milman slime machine is a disaster, what word do you use to describe the war itself? You know, Maureen Dowd joined the Bash Pelosi Bash with a column entitled Squeaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi's first move after the Democratic triumph was to throw like a girl, writes Maureen. Women get criticized in the office for acting on relationships and past slights rather than strategy. So, excuse me, Madam Speaker wasted no time making her first move based on relationships and past slights rather than strategy. Ms. Pelosi offered an argument along the lines of, John Murtha is my friend. He's been nice to me. I don't like Steny. He did something a long time ago that was really, really bad. So really, really bad that I'm never, ever going to tell you, and I'm the boss of you. So vote for John. Really? I don't recall Pelosi ever saying or implying anything of the kind again. How much clearer could Pelosi be than bringing the war to an end is my highest priority as Speaker? In their editorials this week, LA Times and New York Times both chided Pelosi for even considering not installing California Congresswoman Jane Harman as the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, a point also raised by Dowd. Everyone in Washington was perplexed at Pelosi's ham-handed effort to sabotage not only Steny Hoyer, but her former friend and fellow Californian, Jane Harman. Wait, so first Pelosi is criticized for making her first move based on relationships, and then she's criticized for not giving a chairmanship to a former friend and fellow Californian. So, Ariana writes, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, what do you think about what Ariana has said? Is Nancy Pelosi off to a rocky start? Does it matter? Will she right herself? This is just one thing in a long list of things. What do you think? 349-1320. And I want to recommend to you a wonderful profile of Rahm Emanuel in the Chicago Tribune. You can download it. Let's head over to the phones and to Bob in Citrus Heights. Hi, Bob. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
I just wanted to ask you about, you were saying Phil used all his money in the primaries.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that had a lot to do with it, but, you know, he also came out talking about big tax increases. And sooner or later, people are to the point where they don't want to pay any more money, have any more taken out for taxes, so you get rid of some of the waste in the government.
You're absolutely right. I thought it was suicidal for him to have brought it up. He still is, he believes that we are going to need that, and he may very well be right, but to bring it up in a campaign is completely suicidal. And I was shocked that he did it, and he did it early. And he did not do it in response to anybody's question. He volunteered it.
Yeah, so you got a man there saying, I plan to raise your taxes, when I think the first step would be is I plan to get rid of some of the corruption and the you know, there's a lot of programs where one laps over the other here. I mean, they should be looking at that stuff first, but it doesn't seem to be the anything there. Maybe it's just an idea.
Well, and he ran his own. He didn't. I think there are three points of suicide here that I can see. First of all, he ran out of money. The money that he had raised so assiduously for 3 years evaporated quickly in the bruising primary. So now he had to scratch around for more at the same time he's campaigning. Number two, he was accused of running his own campaign, which I guess is another way of saying he micromanaged it, and he didn't do the most brilliant job. It was not a well-run campaign. Number three, he's hoist on his own petard because the first thing that comes out of his mouth, which his opponents can use to define him, is the tax increase, which he may very well be right that we need it, but don't talk about that until you're elected. That would be my advice.
Yeah.
Unless you can avoid it, unless you can completely avoid it.
Mm. And this isn't to say, we're going to end up, I mean, with Arnold, with all these bond things, we're going to end up paying the taxes on that one way or the other, too.
Well, we are, but Arnold made himself a more marketable, appealing candidate. He's not a better governor, but he made himself seem that he would be, and that was his great genius on this, and they ran a very slick campaign. Bob, I thank you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. In addition, James Carville has attempted to topple Howard Dean as chairman of the Democratic National Committee, but that attempt has failed after state party officials and even a vocal critic of Dean crushed the coup. Officials said insiders from the Clinton camp winced at Carville's untimely remarks last week, calling for Dean's ouster in favor of unsuccessful state Senate candidate Harold Ford of Tennessee. The Clintonistas don't want an undeserved backlash from the activist wing of the party that overwhelmingly supports Dean, especially because some anti-Clinton Democrats have blamed Hillary for the attack by Carville, a longtime Clinton insider. I don't know. I like Howard Dean. I've always liked Howard Dean. So I don't know why everybody wants to attack him. And that scream, that wasn't anything. That's just, you know, rallying the troops. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I mean, Goldstein, Nancy Pelosi. She off to a rocky start? Everybody says she is, but I don't think so. And Ariana doesn't think so. And I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. What do you think? 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you. Some slowdowns. Watt Avenue at Arden Way. Vallejo Drive just east of Main Avenue. That's in North Sac. Northbound 99 just east of Sheldon. And Florin Road, they're southbound 99. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, we'll set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Hello, hi, how are you?
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Well, you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit CashCreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
I know you turn your back on Mother Nature, but everything she puts you through. She wakes up every day and tries to greet you. I'm hoping that you make it through.
6:31 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I hope you make it through the holiday season, where this is the opening salvo, which is Thanksgiving and my favorite holiday and the least commercial of what we're going to about to face, but the perhaps one of the most gluttonous holidays. Be careful, whether it's the shopping or the ingesting. And I guess this is two forms of ingestion. We're talking a little politics this hour. It's our usual potpourri of ideas. We've been a lot of places today. We've been to OJ, and we've been to Charlie Rangel and instituting the draft, and we've been to George Weller and what's the appropriate punishment for the crime, and we've been to Seinfeld and Kramer uttering racist comments in a comedy club. And we're talking about Nancy Pelosi and whether she has faltered, because everybody's saying that she has. And I'm not, you know, it's too early yet. Wait till we see what happens. Wait till we see what goes on. John Kerry believes that his botched joke is not going to affect his run for presidency, if that's what he decides to do. And Hillary Clinton is twice as popular as her nearest Democratic rivals, according to the newest poll. She is favored by 33%, and the next person behind her is Barack Obama. I think he's got 15%. John Edwards has 14%. John Kerry dropped from 12% to 7%. So his polling does not look good. If you have some thoughts about this, we'd like to hear them. 349-1320, Sherman in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sherman.
Sherman, and I just wanted to comment on the press being up for Nancy. She's a politician who's made it this far, and I'm sure she knew that he probably wouldn't get it, but it was appropriate for him to be nominated given what he'd done for the Democratic Party.
Well, he did do a lot, but he had a lot of ethics issues, so you have to wonder, was she being smart and supporting an old friend, or if you give the appearance that you have faltered, are you weakening your position as the speaker?
Well, I think it's one of those short-term things, and as everyone knows, the people have a short-term memory, and by honoring him knowing that he was going to lose, I think she did the right thing.
You do? Okay, so she was able to kill two birds with one stone. In other words, she supports her friend and rewards him, even though she knows it's not going anywhere.
That's correct.
And she's had a frosty relationship, it's been reported, I mean, who knows, with Steny Hoyer. But surely somebody was counting those votes. Surely he won by so much she had to have known she wasn't going to win.
I'm sure she knew he wasn't going to win. That's what I think.
Okay. All right, Sherman.
That's all I have to say.
Sherman, I thank you
for good work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Paul and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Enid. Listen, Nancy says her first priority is going to be getting the troops out of Iraq. Is that right?
Yeah.
So,
well, her first priority, wait a minute, let me give you the exact quote. Bringing the war to an end is my highest priority as speaker.
Okay.
So that's not quite the same as bringing home the troops.
Well, how is she going to bring the war to an end unless she defunds the war the way they ended the war in Vietnam? Isn't that the way they ended the war in Vietnam?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how she's going to do it. But maybe they'll figure out something. There's the Iraq study group, so somebody's hoping. And then, of course, it's being speculated that the way to marginalize Cheney, who now wants to march to war to Iran, is to bring in Gates and Poppy's old crowd. So I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. But they got to figure out something.
Well, talk is cheap, you know. I mean, it's easy to say we're gonna force Bush to bring him home. But it seems to me the only way to do that is through the purse strings, and that's what Dennis Kucinich has been saying. And there's 22 members of the House of Representatives that I think are on record as calling for cutting off funds for the war, because I don't see, as long as Bush is president, I don't see how they're going to stop the war or bring the troops home or set a timetable without doing something with the purse strings.
Okay, you may very well be right about that, Paul. I thank you very much for calling. 349-1320 is Paul Wright. He says it's got to start with the purse strings. That's one thing that has to happen. They've got to start cutting funding. But don't you have to have a plan before you start cutting funding? I mean, you just can't pull the plug on the money. You've got to figure out what your plan is going to be. So, are we reducing the troop number? Bush is looking for a big troop. He wants, 20,000 more? He wants to bulk it up right now, like the last big push. But you know what? It's the last hurrah. It's not going to change anything. Even Henry Kissinger says this war is unwinnable. Henry Kissinger says this war is unwinnable. And I'd like to call your attention again to something that maybe you can participate in. If going on a demonstration, an anti-war demonstration, is too much effort. Two peace activists, a couple, she's 76 and he's 55, they are calling for orgasms for peace. That's right. It's the global orgasm for peace. And the idea is for everybody in the world to have an orgasm on December 22nd, and I'm not making this up. This is from the New York Times. And, of course, they're San Franciscans. While focusing on world peace, and that would be spelled P-E-A-C-A. P-E-A-C-E. So here's a couple. They have headed up the Global Organism for Peace Initiative. Their immodest goal is for everybody in the world to have an orgasm December 22nd while focusing on world peace. The orgasm gives out an incredible feeling of peace during it and after it, said the man. Your mind is like a blank. It's like a meditative state. And mass meditations have been shown to make a change. So this is what they are promoting, and I don't know. Maybe you don't have to cut funding yet. And maybe if you have an orgasm for peace, it'll begin to bring everybody home. What do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our traffic is looking pretty good on this Monday at 638. However, southbound 99, just north of westbound Florin Road, we have a three-car crash. It looks like all of 99, northbound 99, just south of Florin Road, southbound 99, just north of westbound Florin Road. You know, I'm trying to picture that in my head. There's four-car crashes over there. Oh, I see how that's working. So you know what? They've got the traffic stopped. Emergency vehicles are on scene, and it looks like they have a detour just up above, so we'll find out more about that. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Is your kitchen...
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet.
That is
you
now,
and me.
You
and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 642 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I have got to ask you a question. We're asking about Nancy Pelosi, but it's revealed that Barack Obama, in a book that he wrote, said that he had messed around with marijuana and, quote, maybe a little blow. But worse, he smokes. And nobody admits that they smoke anymore. Is that going to hurt his political career, do you think? That he's got a Tobacco Jones? 349-1320-866-2613-20. Daryl in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Enid. You know, I wish the Middle East would have just peace beyond their wildest dream, you know. They would all get along. The hatred and bigotry of this world would end. We wouldn't have to have war. Everybody would have free will. Everybody would just enjoy life. There would not be an internal agony that just tears people up.
Okay. That's a nice wish, and there'll be. This is a season for wishing those things. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jason in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jason.
Hi. Air America is going off the air?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought they were.
No.
Oh, okay.
Why? Where'd you hear that?
I thought I heard it on the Randy Rhoads show today.
Well, if it's news to me if you heard it.
Okay.
When did she say they're going off the air?
I think that I thought she said this was the last week.
She said it last week?
No, she said that this would be the last week.
That this would be the last week for Air America? When she said that on the air today?
I thought so, but I could be mistaken.
Well, I didn't hear it. I hope you're mistaken.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm here, though. That's it. Okay, thanks. We'll see about that. No, I haven't heard about that. If anyone's heard about that, we'd like to hear from you. Jim and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to make a statement about the Barack Obama. Is that how you pronounce his name?
That's his name.
Yeah, you know, I think the worst thing that guy has going for him is his name. I don't think people are going to be able to vote for a guy with a name like that.
You don't
think? Americans like simple names. George and Bill and John and, you know, things like that.
What about Enid? Jim, what about Enid?
I'm sorry?
What about Enid?
Your name?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd vote for you.
You vote for me? Well, nobody else would. Nobody can pronounce it. I get Anita, Edith, you name it. So I guess I couldn't be president.
I don't know.
So you're saying forget his smoking. You're saying forget that he smokes cigarettes. Now we're talking cigarettes. Nobody's going to vote for him because nobody can pronounce his name. But I think everybody can pronounce his name now.
It's not a matter of whether they can pronounce it or not. It's just an unusual name, and I think people have a hard time going for stuff like that.
But you know his mother's an American, and his father, you know his mother's an American, and his father is, I think, from Africa someplace. And somewhere they met in school, and I think they were divorced when Barack was young. But so Barack grew up in this country, but he has that name, and so I guess it makes him sound like he's kind of foreign. I don't know. I like him a lot. I think he would be interesting. I hope I'm right about that.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. I just think ultimately his name is, you know, especially with, you know, maybe, you know, a lot more of the conservative crowd. I mean, they probably wouldn't vote for him anyways in principle. But, you know, if there's some swing voters or whatever, I think because of the name, people would just be like, I don't know. Yeah, that guy sounds like he's from far away or something, you know.
Okay. Jim, thanks very much for the call. It's an interesting take on it. 349-1320, Ashley in Rancho. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on what the guy said right before me. I actually don't think that people are going to not vote for somebody just because they can't pronounce his name. I think he's actually going to stand out because of the individuality of his name.
What about the fact that he smokes cigarettes?
I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, everybody from Clinton on down has been asked if they inhaled on other stuff, and so
right.
I think this is ridiculous with the tobacco issue.
You think?
Absolutely.
You do. You know, I don't know. What does it say? Does it say about something about being addicted?
Something being addicted?
Well, does it tell you something about being addicted?
Oh no!
You know,
I mean, I think if we took a poll of all of our Congress, our whole Congress, and to see how many of them smoked, I think we might be surprised that there are probably more than not. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope they don't join the list of smelly celebrities. Laura smokes. Laura Bush is a smoker.
Hey.
So
power to Barack.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Ashley. 349-1320 866. 626-1320. Did Nancy Pelosi get off to a rocky start? And Laura Bush smokes, and Barack Obama does too, which I didn't know. Maybe that's why he's so skinny. And is that going to hurt his election prospects? A U.S. District Court has ordered the FBI to correct disclosures regarding the U.S. government's evacuation of, this is interesting, of Saudi royals and the bin Laden family members after 9/11. Remember that, when they went out on a special flight? Judicial Watch, which is a public interest group that investigates and prosecutes government corruption, announced that U.S. District Court Judge Richard Roberts of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia has ordered the FBI to submit, quote, proper disclosures to the court and Judicial Watch by mid-December concerning the U.S. government's evacuation of Saudi royals and members of the bin Laden family from the U.S. immediately following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Judicial Watch notes that Judge Roberts criticized the adequacy of redaction descriptions, the accuracy of the sworn statements submitted with the documents, the validity of exemption claims, and other errors, many errors, in the FBI disclosures. The FBI's 220-page annotated production and accompanying declaration together do not, as they must, provide sufficient detail or precision about the withheld information. So lots of withheld information. The FBI's motion for summary judgment will be denied, and the FBI will be directed to file disclosures that fairly meet the requirements of court precedent. The judge added that one particular FBI exemption argument stuns credulity. So these are the documents. The FBI must correct disclosures on the evacuation of the Saudis, and this is the bin Laden family, right after 9/11. So it'll be very interesting to find out what sorts of information have not been included. And I have to share this story with you because I am so mesmerized by it. I like reading thrillers. Well, mysteries. I don't know if I'm a thriller reader. I think there's so much to be scared about in life. Why make yourself scared anyway? Just like this is how I feel about gambling in the casinos. I know a lot of people like to do it, and they regard it as entertainment, and everybody is looking for a quick win. But the house odds are not with you. And there's so much to gamble in life where you actually have a chance to win. Why bother? I was standing, I thought I was going to go nuts. The other day I was standing in line to buy a newspaper at a convenience store, like a 7-Eleven, and a guy ahead of me is buying every lotto ticket that you can buy. And he doesn't say, I want 5 or 10 lotto tickets and make it easy. I want one of those, and then he gets that and pays for it. I want one of those. I thought I was going to I thought I was going to die because it took so long. And I thought, mister, you are so throwing away your money on these tickets. You have a better chance of being hit by a terrorist than you do of winning any of these lotteries. But I didn't say anything. You know, it took me 500 years to pay for my newspaper. And I thought, you know, the meter is running. What if you only have X number of hours, minutes, and days in this lifetime, and to spend any of it behind somebody who thinks he's going to win the lotto is just too much. Anyway, I'll share it with you as we continue. But this is a very this could make for a thriller, a spy story, and we will talk about that. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday post-pre-Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving edition of Enid Live on AM 13, I can't keep it straight, on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, I think Barack Obama is pretty sexy, in my opinion. Yuck, yeah, man. And I don't think it has anything to do with him smoking anything. Enid Live, so, we got, what's that?
He's a smoking guy.
He is a smoking guy, and I love it. Anyway, Latrobe Road at just north of town center. We've got a three-car crash. It looks like it's stopping traffic. Emergency vehicles are there. South Bend 99 and North Bend 99. On all four sides of Florin Road, we have a stop-down situation. It looks like we have emergency vehicles on all sides, so you might want to stay clear of that as well. Marconi Avenue at Fulton Avenue, and that looks like it's about it. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
It's talk radio for the less of us. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Everybody loves...
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks into Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk at it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Now, 349-1320.
the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours for a couple of minutes more, and I want to share this story with you because it's right out of a spy thriller, except that it's true. British police are investigating the poisoning of a former Russian spy and an outspoken critic of President Vladimir Putin. And the guy, the former spy, is now under protective guard at a London hospital, according to Scotland Yard. His name is Alexander Litvinenko, and he's 43, and he began vomiting shortly after he had lunch with a man who gave him documents related to the recent killing of a Russian journalist. Police said they began a criminal investigation after medical tests confirmed the presence of poisons in his system. It is a poison that's thallium. It's highly toxic. It's used as rat poison in some parts of the world. It's odorless, you know, colorless. As little as 1/15 of a level teaspoon is enough to kill. And what happened, they think, is an assassination attempt perpetrated by Russian agents. So you're having lunch with somebody, and maybe when you turn around, or maybe when you go to the John and you come back, and the dessert is sitting there, they put something in it. And so this guy is in intensive, you know, he may not make it. We don't know. His hair has fallen out, but they do think he was poisoned. And listen to this other story. The incident is reminiscent of a 1978 poisoning of a Bulgarian dissident who was, this is an incredible story, who was jabbed in the leg by a man with an umbrella while he was walking across Waterloo Bridge in London. The umbrella fired a pellet of ricin poison.